much about.
Columbus Day, which brings with it the beloved annual traditions of cheesy local commercials.
In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue to celebrate Mattress Depot.
And Americans turning up to an unexpectedly closed post office and going, oh yeah, it's Columbus Day.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
Madrid. The Queen of Spain grants an audience to an obscure Italian sailor. There in her chambers, plans are made destined to change the course of history.
Yeah, all right, we'll go over it once again. First, you hawk the jewels, you give me the money, and I buy the ships. Then I discover the new world. You dump the king, and I'll send for you.
And now.
So America's least favorite holiday commemorates a murderous egomaniac whose most famous discovery was a case of getting lost and refusing to ask directions. All of which is enough to make you wonder, Columbus Day, how is this still a thing?
Our feature presentation.
By the way, I tried to talk everybody into just staying home.
Right.
That's a perfect plan as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
It's a holiday.
We all stay home. And then somebody calls and go, hey, where are you guys? And you go, it's Columbus Day. We don't work on Columbus Day.
Right.
But then Dave, the party killer, says, oh, it's not on the approved list of CBS holidays.
Yeah,
we have to work.
It's always one person.
Yep. By the way, am I remembering this incorrectly, Kevin? Didn't we used to get Columbus Day off?
I think we did, yeah.
I feel like we did.
Yeah.
It used to be a real holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I don't know what's happening
either. I think it's starting to get dissed as a holiday. It's like, okay, we'll take it or don't. We don't really
care. And even the places, and I understand about half the states, it's a state holiday. You know, the government, the local government, state government is closed. And in a bunch of states, it's no longer even Columbus Day. It's Indigenous Peoples Day. Because they're turning away from the murderous traitor that is Columbus. And they're putting the focus back on the people who are occupied. So it's all a big mess. But all I know is I feel like there was a loophole there, and I feel like we did not exploit it. And that disappointed.
And why? Dave.
Dave.
The king of Mexico.
And
not
fun.
My fault.
It is your fault, stupid producer.
Morning, everybody. By the way, it's Monday. It's the 12th of October.
I also want to thank, where is it? I've got it here. Kevin Bean listener Scott, who listens to us via podcast from Minneapolis, for reminding me that today is also 11/12 Edmund Fitzgerald Day. So the year is just flying on by now.
Yep.
Because November 10th is
right.
Edmund Fitzgerald Day, so today is October.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you, Scott, for that. We'll
That was great, man.
Appropriately celebrate later on.
Yeah, shut up, dude.
Here's a story to get us started before we get into today's excellent all-new Kevin and Bean show. Holly O'Brien is her name. She is – how old is she? I want to say she's in her mid-40s, and she, back in March, got a job working as a physical therapy assistant on the fourth floor of the doctor's hospital in Sarasota, Florida. And one of the patients told her, hey, there's another nurse named Megan who is also from Korea. Holly's from Korea, moved to America as a child. You should go meet this other nurse from Korea because, A, she's Korean, and, B, maybe you guys are from the same part of the country, or you might know some of the same people or whatever. And I think you can see where this story is headed. As the women began spending time together, they were stunned to find many similarities in their history. Increasingly convinced that they might be related, they decided to take a DNA test and found out that they are sisters.
Yay!
Wow.
What are the chances of that happening, by the way? Holly O'Brien, whose birth name was Pak Nam Shin, was born in South Korea. She and her sister Eun-suk had spent their childhoods in separate orphanages in the country, were later adopted by different American families. The siblings did not know where the other was for more than 40 years. One of them was living in Florida. The other one was living in New York, who recently moved to Florida and got a job at the same hospital as her sister from when she was a kid, on the same floor of the same hospital, even though they had grown up in America, unaware of each other's whereabouts, more than 300 miles apart.
How do you explain that, Bean?
I do not. I do not try to explain that. I can't even wrap my head around the odds of something like that happening.
Don't you think it's fate?
The sister's incredible story can be traced to one fateful night in the early 1970s, the last time the siblings would see each other for many decades. O'Brien was just a child, but she remembers her mother gathering her sister in the middle of the night and fleeing the family home. They never returned. She was left in the care of her dad, who she described as an alcoholic. At the age of five, she recalls being pulled out of school to identify her father's body after he had wandered into the path of an oncoming train.
Good Lord.
She was then put into an orphanage and adopted by an American couple who took her to Virginia. What she didn't know is that her sister had been adopted from a different South Korean orphanage 2 years before, also by an American, and lived in New York. So how about that for a happy family reunion of these two sisters? 40 years apart, and they end up living in the same town, working on the same floor of the same hospital. Wouldn't it be awesome, by the way, if they had some sort of falling out and ended up hating each other and never talking again?
Never talk to you again.
No.
After getting back together.
No, it wouldn't.
That would be awesome.
You guys are horrible.
No, it really would be pretty.
That's the way this story needs to end.
Right.
I just want Bean to say it's possible that it's fate and the universe got involved and put them together.
All right, Bean.
It is an incredible, astonishing, hard-to-believe coincidence that something like that
happened. Come on, Bean.
It really is
just
crazy.
Just say it's possible.
Is there a 1% chance of fate?
That there's an imaginary man in the sky who's moving human beings around like pieces on a chessboard to make funny things happen?
Doesn't it have to be God?
Nope.
It can be just fate.
Yep. Well, fate. But fate, I mean, that's as vague and as imaginary a concept as God, though. You're talking about the same thing. You're talking about there being some sort of plan, talking about this being organized rather than just random. No, I don't believe that.
A little bit,
but
though?
It is not even a little bit. No.
It is 1%.
Not even 1%. Right. It's a remarkable story, though, so I thought it would be a nice way to get us started on a Monday.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
And isn't it also true that you have a history of being a monumental douchebag? Mm.
Dozo did a Periscope.
Yes.
Where he took questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I edited that over the weekend and brought in some highlights.
Yes.
How'd that go?
Awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
Periscope? Nope.
Well, I mean, if you watched it, it was terrible.
Right.
But if you just get the highlights, oh, he's magic.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's just magic. And then Chip was in there and Omar was in there and Dave was in there and everybody was yelling at him. Good times.
Party.
Good times. Matt Money Smith will be on the program today talking Dodgers.
Ooh. Boy, is there a lot to talk about.
Now, what is it? 1-1?
1-1.
In games, yeah.
But that's not the thing.
Yeah.
One of the most controversial plays in baseball history happened on Saturday night.
Slidegate.
Slidegate is on, man. So we must discuss with Matt and find out what's going to happen. By the way, somebody, I don't want to get into it now because we're talking
up?
To him in an hour.
Happened? Cleats up?
Essentially, yeah.
They broke someone's leg.
Broke the shortstop's leg.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you want to call that a hard slide. And neither the shortstop or the runner touched second base.
No, and he was ruled safe. None of it
And he was
sense.
Ruled safe. Yeah, none of it. Was just a disaster. And they reviewed it. And they stopped and reviewed it. And the umpires came back and said,
time.
Yep, he's safe. Chase Utley's already off the field.
What the hell?
It was crazy. And he's been suspended for the next two games, and he's appealing. Oh, it's a big mess, Kevin.
Three Stooges.
It is.
I love it. We also have Danielle Pennebaker, who's going to be on the program today. Dr. Caitlin Snow from The Flash, which is a show we love. And we've got Andrew Siciliano to talk about the NFL.
Wow.
I thought that was over. I thought we were done with football.
Oh, no.
There's
still most of the season.
Oh, I thought the season was over. I felt like it was over.
Some teams blow 17-point leads, but not all.
Right. And we have a huge Muse thing to tell you about, and we think it's too big. We think you're getting too much as the listener, so we're going to try and talk our station out of it.
Absolutely.
Because you don't deserve it. Got to be honest, I don't feel like you deserve it. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. That's next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
All right, tell me about the Muse. Tell me about the Muse thing. What's going on?
Be cool if I had it.
I was told that was something you wanted to do here. Okay.
It was, but now Beer Mug took the information, and just turned away from me and just didn't let me have it.
Hateful.
All right, you listen to K-Rock all week. You want a pair of tickets to see Muse at Staples Center on December 19th.
Nice. Well,
that's a fantastic prize.
Plus.
I'm happy. Oh, there's more.
You qualify for the Suite Life with Muse. And what that is your own suite at the show.
Awesome.
You get a suite at the Ritz-Carlton, which is right across the street from Staples Center. You get to introduce the band.
Too much.
My God.
You get a limo ride.
Stop.
And you win $25,000.
I'm sorry,
right,
what?
So we're supposed to guess which one of those is actually part of the prize?
You win all of those.
No.
No.
Muse tickets?
Nope.
Suite at the hotel? Suite
nope.
at Staples? Introduce the band? Limo ride? $25,000.
None of that makes sense.
I know. We were talking last week, like, why don't we spread that out over, I don't know, the whole year?
Yeah, seriously. It's still K-Rock, right?
We're giving this to one person.
Right?
That's... How do you, what's the deal?
I love working at Kiss FM.
How does one win such a thing?
Well, we'll tell you when to call.
Okay.
It works basically the same way, which is most of the day on K-Rock, we'll tell you when to call. Occasionally, we'll do a game on the Kevin and Bean Show, mm-hmm. which right. we're going to do this morning, where you can
you
win
earn your way in.
Right.
All right.
So.
And then you're qualified for grand prize drawing to win all of that, the
yep.
Suite Life with Muse. That is, that's remarkable.
It's too much.
Ali is here in for Ralph Garman with our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new day, for a new week. What's going on?
Well, let's look at the weekend's box office. Would you like to?
Yes, please.
Okay. Coming in number one, The Martian. Second week with $37 million, followed by Hotel Transylvania 2 with $20.3 million. Pan, its debut, not bad. Pulled in $17.4 million for third place until you realize, oh, it costs $150 million to make.
Oh, it's one of those? Oh, no.
That's not good.
But is it the word of mouth on that movie just so awful that it's amazing anyone went?
Didn't the six-second movie guy walk out?
Yes, he did.
That's not good.
Yeah. Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
It really is. Number four, The Intern at $8.7 million, followed by Sicario, Maze Runner, The Scorch Trials, The Walk, Black Mass, Everest, and coming in 10th, The Visit.
Kevin, what did you see this weekend?
I saw nothing.
What?
Didn't go to any movies.
Well, you had
I was pretty busy.
Yeah, not poker tournament. You had the soccer game.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Huge dinner last night, so I had no time.
But huge dinner, just like...
It's a big charity thing that my wife and everybody else was planning. I didn't really...
Maybe you just had like double potatoes or
no.
something.
No. Here's what I know. I had to dress up and miss The Walking Dead.
Oh,
that's what I know.
Dude. I will spoil that for you today.
I know. It's okay.
Well, then this is for you. Are what? You ready?
Yes. Did Carl die?
I'm going to need some breaking news.
All right.
Did Carl die?
And now, breaking news bulletin.
Kevin James, the King of Queens, has another series in the works at CBS.
Yay!
Yes, kids. The Wrap says Kevin will play a newly retired police officer looking forward to spending more quality time with his wife and three kids, only to discover he faces much tougher challenges at home than he ever did in the streets.
Oh, my God.
Poor guy. And he's got to move that clean piece of glass.
All the time.
Maybe that's his job. Maybe that's his new job, is he's going to install glass. Would that be something?
He will write and executive produce the series in addition to starring in it.
Wow. Kevin, are you so happy your boyfriend's coming back to TV?
I don't consider him my boyfriend.
Really?
Like your bestie?
I don't know that he's my bestie either.
Your hero? Would that be accurate?
Yeah
that would be accurate.
Your Lord and Savior?
My Lord and Savior, yeah.
Kevin James, if there's anyone funnier than Kevin James, I want Nate.
How much time do you have?
Who said that?
It's a basketball announcer.
That is good times.
Yeah.
Shia LaBeouf didn't have a good time in Austin. He was arrested last week at the Austin City Limits Music Festival for public intoxication.
TMZ, do it! Yeah. Just do it!
Apparently, people were telling him to do that with drinks, and he was. He was going right along with it. TMZ reports Shia attempted to jaywalk in front of police officers after running down the street. And he was already arrested once last year, remember, at the Broadway musical Cabaret for drunken behavior. He had to be removed. So he went to rehab for 3 months after that. So we will see what is happening with him.
Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf.
I don't know if he's actually...
Shia. Shia.
Shia.
Yeah, I think he's going bye bye.
Shia.
Is this actual audio from the police report in Austin?
I believe it is.
Okay.
Shia. I'm going to move on to the next story.
Poor guy.
I know. Very sad. Also, pretty drunk this weekend was Charlie Sheen. in Orange. Uh-oh. I know. We haven't heard from him in a while. But he was apparently at a bar in the OC on Saturday. He had gone fishing during the day, then headed to Hennessy's Tavern in Dana Point. Had some shots, was being great, adoring fans, taking pictures, posing for pictures, having a great time. But then a woman tried to shoot video of him on her cell phone, and he pulled a Kevin.
Mm.
He slapped that phone right out of her hands, damaging it.
But I do that for comedy.
Yeah, he didn't do it for comedy.
He was upset?
Yeah, he was pretty upset, apparently. The bouncer then put him in a WWE hold and removed him from the premises in a headlock.
That's pretty sweet.
It's happening.
Losers winning. Bye-bye.
But it's not over at that point. You'd think Charlie would just go home. No, Charlie insisted on then meeting the guy who dared put him in the headlock. They then shook hands, said goodnight, and he'd gotten his driver.
I'm sorry, what?
What? His driver. Wow, that's a whole other story. Yeah. He then got in his car, and a driver took him home.
I'm done. It's on. Bring it.
What's that all about? Like, you want to meet the guy that threw you out?
Charlie Sheen is still a big star.
Sure.
And is still rich.
Sure.
And can probably still go out any night he wants and just point to whichever woman he wants to have sex with. And much of the time that works out for him, right?
Do you think still?
I would think so. I think
that's his life.
No.
I think so. I mean, look, not everyone's going to go for it.
But his teeth are all messed up, and like he took a turn.
Yeah,
he's not hot Charlie anymore. He's like creepy.
I think he's famous enough and rich enough though that I think it still works for him.
Chip, no, Chip's no. A no. I'm a soft no.
Okay, you might do it for the story.
I might do it for Pens. The story. All of these stars were born today on the 12th of Rocktober. Very lucky chips there. Hugh Jackman is turning 47 today. Actor Kirk Cameron is 45. And actor Josh Hutcherson is 23. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
We are lucky enough to know a future superstar named Doto. He's this guy.
Can I ask you a quick question? How many years do you think it takes to succeed in show business?
Doto is a guy who is committed to not only excellence, but committed to being a superstar in the media. And that's why we've been doing everything we can to kind of help him along. And one of the great ideas that I think you, Dave, our producer, came up with is that Doe needs to start interacting with his fans more. And one way to do that would be through Periscope.
Yes, sir.
So when did this happen? Thursday?
This happened last Wednesday.
Okay. Wow. Here's the thing about the first clip. The first clip is him just explaining, you know, what topics he's interested in. So if you have questions, you can ask him about them. It's going to sound like he's done talking, but wait. I'll tell you when he's done talking. It's insane.
Well, I'm here because I'm excited about the show, and I like to tell and my advice is, like, I like to talk about love and relationship and buffet in Las Vegas. And I also want to talk about hotels and also Thailand. And also about presidential debate.
Okay.
So quite the range.
Hotels, buffets, Thailand, presidential debates. All right, he's put a lot of topics out on the table for people.
All right, now Chip is in there and Omar is in there. And Omar hears something in this next clip and decides to really put Doto to the test.
All right, Mystic Narwhal wants to know what's crack-a-lacking, player?
Crack-a-lacking, player?
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that question. What I'm saying is when I drink too much coffee, it makes me excited.
Did you drink coffee this morning?
Of course I did. Maybe one or two cups with a Korean lady. She made me breakfast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you her last night?
No, she came to my house this morning.
Okay. Did you her this morning?
Omar is so fascinated with Doto's personal life, isn't he?
By the way, have you guys seen the Korean lady?
No.
He posted about her on his Instagram.
Did he?
He did?
Yeah. Oh, poor thing. She's so pretty.
Really?
Yes.
That's shocking. Is she blind?
Maybe. I don't know.
Somebody else wants to know, one of Doe's favorite topics is German chocolate cake.
Mm-hmm.
So, recommendation.
All right. Where's the best German chocolate cake? Venerable Photography wants to know.
The best German chocolate cake is that. Go to a Vietnamese place in Bosa. Or go to Cheesecake Factory.
All right. Those are the two options.
All right.
Would you guess a Vietnamese place has the best German chocolate cake? I would not as well. All right. So I'm going to set this clip up by saying Omar doesn't care about getting in shape. He's not a personal trainer. Mm-hmm. He just likes to poke people and agitate them. So Doto immediately goes, as he always does, to he needs to lose weight and get babes.
I'm about 220 pounds, so is it possible to lose 20 pounds in 2 months? 20 to 25 pounds.
You know how you start?
How?
10 push-ups.
10 push-ups?
Start right now.
Right now.
10 push-ups. Come on.
Do it.
Come on, man.
Get down.
10 push-ups.
Do it. 10 push-ups.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh.
You are not in good shape.
How did it turn into Full Metal Jacket out of nowhere?
Gosh.
Well, he wanted to get in shape, so we gave him a little help. That is Omar. That's him. He could care less about push-ups. He just wants to really put on the pressure.
And Doto sent me a message the next day saying that after doing those 10 push-ups, his body was sore. So we were a little too hard on him.
All right.
I agree.
So another question, and this one is about picking up Korean women.
Kevin 818 wants to know, how can he get a Korean woman?
How can he get? Let me tell you my technique, man. On June 20, 2014, when I was on my way to Cerritos to my house, man, I stopped at a Starbucks getting some coffee, and I saw this Korean lady. She's about 5'8". I went up to her. I talked to her. I told her my name is Doto, and
is it Doto or Doto?
Doto, and I told her.
All right, just pause right there.
Did he mispronounce his own name?
His own name.
How did that happen?
He said Doto. How did that happen? I don't know. He just said it. Dave caught it. He's like, hey, we've been calling you Doto this whole time. And Doto just is like, yeah, it's Toe.
That's weird.
Yeah.
What?
Right? That's weird.
And I told her that. I was wondering, can we exchange numbers? Hopefully we can get a cup of coffee. And she immediately gave me her number, and the next week, she tell her friends to meet me at the same places to see am I crazy or not. So her friends said, this guy's cool. Just tell him that you go to church, because most Korean people like that when you say that you're Christian or Catholic. you don't know Alma.
I know.
Wait, did you call him Alma?
Yeah. I guess my name is Alma.
He was offended that Omar was sort of laughing at his pickup ideas. Mm-hmm. So he was a little offended by that.
So not only did he get his name wrong,
yeah,
he got Omar's name wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. Alma.
All right. Again, I'm going to remind you that Omar does not care about getting in shape.
Combination of weights, cardio, and also what you eat.
Right. Yeah.
Some cardio right now. Some jumping jacks. 10 jumping jacks. Come on.
Let's do it.
One.
Count them out, dude.
3, 4, 5, 5, 5, 5, 6, 6, 6, 6, 7, 7, 7. Seven.
Hey, we're done. I'm tired, man.
Seven, yeah, all right, cool.
Seven. That's only seven.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you guys?
Omar says that's only seven, and Doto says, yeah, that's all I can do.
You guys are awful. You're awful.
Doto needs babes. Dave has a good idea.
I need some babes, man. Maybe this Korean girl could be the right lady.
Dude, give out your phone number. Maybe babes will call you.
Number. 714-383.
Okay. One more time.
714-383.
Yeah, I beeped it, by the way. They didn't. They put it on Periscope.
Go gave out live, his phone man. Number on Periscope.
Yes. Not once, but twice.
Twice.
Why? Why would he do that?
He wants babes. What do you not understand?
All he does is talk about his girlfriend.
Right. But I'm not sure we believe in her. Have you seen the picture? At one point, you did ask for the picture.
Yeah.
I don't think I have highlights of that, but...
No, but he posted on Instagram of the Korean lady twice. So.
All right. So he gives out his phone number. So now Dave starts to really get into the good stuff, which is, tell me about Kevin and Bean. What are your feelings on Kevin and Bean?
All right. Who's more of a dick? Sick Rick wants to know. Kevin or Bean?
All right. Now, Bean, what do you think the answer is going to be?
I mean, I think we're both...
Agreed.
We're both very, very nice to Doto is what I was going to say.
Oh, I was going the other way.
I'm going to say he says you only because you're in front of him and he sees you say those things to him face to face. He never sees me in person. So I think in his mind, it hurts more to come from you.
Well, maybe Bean back in 2000, but Bean's been pretty cool.
Who's your favorite, Kevin or Bean?
Does that make you wonder what happened in 2000?
That certainly does.
15 years ago, in his mind, you were a dick, Bean.
Uh-huh.
That's it. But now you seem okay.
Okay, that's interesting.
All right, so then, Dave asked him about me.
Who's your favorite, Kevin or Bean?
I don't know. That's hard to say.
What do you like about Kevin?
White guys, he has a pretty good knowledge of things.
All right, look.
Wow.
We may have laughed a little too hard at
one
that.
One explosion of laughter. F you, F everybody. Sons of bitches.
He has a pretty good knowledge of things.
All right, so that's Periscope 1, people.
I like it. Oh, we got another one coming up maybe next week. That's going to be awesome. Yeah, with Doto.
We're going to make it a weekly thing?
And a special guest. Maybe not a weekly theme, but a, you know, bi-monthly thing or bi-weekly thing.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, say bye.
Bye.
President Obama was at a fundraiser in San Francisco over the weekend, and Kanye West was there. Kanye, as you know, is talking about running for president in 2020. Sure. Here's what the president had to say. One of the tips that he gave to Kanye.
Do you really think that this country is going to elect a black guy from the south side of Chicago with a funny name to be president of the United States? That is crazy.
It is crazy. I have a question for Harvey Levin, our friend from TMZ.com, who joins us every week at this time. Isn't Kanye West exactly the kind of crazy person we're supposed to be keeping away from the president? Like, where's the Secret Service?
Well, I mean, when you think about it, crazy is almost a credential now to run for president. Yeah. So it seems to me he fits right in.
That is a great point. But I think back to that time after the Kanye Taylor Swift story. Remember when the president was asked about that and he called Kanye a jackass?
Right. Well, and No. He actually didn't, like, publicly remember. That was when his microphone was on. And he didn't know that he was being recorded. I forget, one of the networks did remember, and he was just kind of sitting there saying, he's a jackass.
He's a jackass. So now here they are, like, palling around. The president's, like, joking about him running for president and stuff. It's just weird how a few years go by and things change, isn't it?
Well, I mean, the funny thing is, it's just like, you know, Obama is so, like, last term.
Right, yes. Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's just living his life now, and he happens to be president.
But we're all on the same page with Kanye West needs to run for president, right? I mean, for real.
No, Kevin, we're not.
What?
No.
I'm not saying win. I'm saying he needs to run.
Now. Let me ask you this, Harvey, also about the Kanye thing. I always thought that they try to tailor the entertainment at events that the president is at to something that can't be criticized, something that's fairly tame. Kanye West, I mean, if he's up there singing, you know, his black skinhead and new slaves and songs like that in front of the president, I'm just a little bit surprised that that flies. But maybe that's all part of what you're talking about with the lame duck syndrome.
I'm telling you, I mean, he can now do what what are they going to do to him? I mean, Obama is the freest, when you look at it, I mean, every other president I can think of second term, it would just always kind of like had that straitjacket on. I can't think of anybody in my memory who like took it off like he did. He's just kind of, it's not even that. I mean, he seems engaged as president, but just in terms of his personality, there's nothing holding him back.
He was in Alaska drinking his own urine. So, you got that going.
Speaking of people who are running for president and crazy being the new currency, how is Donald Trump, the latest candidate, in trouble for unauthorized use of a campaign song? Like, how does this keep happening, Harvey?
I'm not sure I'm buying this whole thing. Steven Tyler has now sent a cease and desist letter to Trump saying, you better not use Dream On. Now, the weird thing is that Steven Tyler is a Republican and arguably might even be supporting Trump, and his people are saying, well, look, it's an issue of intellectual property. And there's something about it I'm not buying because, yeah, it's true, it's intellectual property, and Trump would have to license the song. But if Steven Tyler really does support him, you know, what a great kind of moniker for your song to have the person you support use your song, you know, in his presidential run. Mm-hmm. And that's why there's something about this that just doesn't feel right. And I can't put my finger on it, but it's like, why would Steven Tyler go after him this strong?
Yeah, that's interesting. And I know that Steven Tyler is a famous conservative as well. And I thought of that, Harvey, but I wondered if maybe he and the other members of Aerosmith have some sort of a deal where they won't politicize their music.
Yeah,
maybe
then Steven Tyler would go into the recesses of this whole thing and then somebody else in the group would do it. I don't know. There's something about this that's strange to me, and I'm not sure. I just don't know what it is. Maybe it's just at face value, Steven Tyler doesn't want him to use the song without getting some money. I don't know.
Right. Let's remember that Harvey said that because, like, in a week, there's going to be some story. Yeah. We're going to find out that he was right because he's got a pretty good instinct. All right, and one more thing real quick we want to talk to you about before you get to the meeting. And this was, I guess, not a surprise based on how the season has been going and based on other things we've seen from the coach this year. But Steve Sarkisian is out on a leave of absence from USC right now. You don't see that very often. What happened this weekend, Harvey?
He was wasted. He was wasted during practice. And this is not the first time. You know, during the Arizona State game, he, you know, everybody who was around there said the same thing. Now, what's really interesting about it, look, I mean, you know, hopefully the guy's going to get better, but clearly he has a problem if he's showing up on a Sunday morning wasted, you know, to a practice. But, you know, what's going to be interesting here is that couldn't be the first time something like this has happened. And you know, it happened a couple of weeks ago at the other game with Arizona.
Right.
And so how many other times has it happened? And ultimately, I guess the question is, how much did people like Pat Hayden and others know that this was a problem and just kind of like didn't do anything? It's just hard for me to believe that all of a sudden one day this just crops up.
Yeah, interesting. And, you know, this just goes to, and we've talked to Dr. Drew over the years enough times to know that alcoholism is a very tough disease, but this just goes to, you look at a guy who's got one of the three or four or five best jobs in college football, and he can't even stay sober for that. I mean, that just shows you.
I mean, yeah, but, you know, look, people can have all sorts. The job doesn't matter. I mean, it's an addiction.
Right.
And, you know, no matter what, you can't say, oh, my God, look, he's throwing this job away. I mean, addiction is more powerful than a job.
Yep, when you're sick, you're sick. That's right. Great stuff as usual, Harvey. TMZ.com is where you want to go. Look for TMZ throughout the day on Channel 11. TMZ Live airing at 4 o'clock on Fox 11. And TMZ Hollywood Sports on the Reels channel. Harvey, thanks for the time. Have a great week, sir.
You too, guys.
We got to get Beer Mug's mom on the phone and find out how she's handling the roller coaster ride of emotions that were the first two games of the series between the Dodgers and the Mets, don't we?
Absolutely. Yeah. We should talk to her after every game.
Yeah.
Game one, seventh inning. Clayton Kershaw walks three guys in a row. They end up losing that game. Game two, seventh inning. Something even crazier than that happened. Our friend Matt Money Smith from the Dodgers radio station, AM 570, joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Matt, how are you, man?
What's happening, guys? Got ourselves some playoff baseball. Is Kevin finally excited?
Woo!
Right.
Look, buddy, I know you're on a very tight schedule today. Let's play the play-by-play announcement of what happened at second base in the seventh inning of game two, and then you tell us what the hell is going on. Listen up.
Up the middle, gloved by Murphy. There's one, and they will not get the double play. Wow, did Chase Utley go in hard at second as the tying run scores. Tejada is down.
Oh, they're making him sit down now. You have these tests for concussion and other things that they will go through.
They're bringing a cart out here to second base. Meantime, for Ruben Tejada.
He wasn't even sliding for the base. I mean, he was sliding intentionally to knock Tejada down, right?
He was trying to break up the play, yeah. I mean, his arm went over the base, but he was. We've seen this before. You know, if Tejada doesn't break his leg, I don't think anybody's screaming and yelling about this today. Well, I don't think. I know. I mean, there is no suspension. There is no cry for the rule needs to be changed, much like it happened for people that follow baseball with Buster Posey a few years ago, you know, with that horrible collision, broke his leg, ended his season. Some thought his career one of the best players in baseball, so they changed the rule, you know, that catchers can no longer block the plate, and those collisions were going to end because of one play. And it's a crappy play, and it sucks that the kid broke his leg, and he's out for the rest of the playoffs and probably all of next year, and who knows what's going to happen with his career. It was a nasty injury. But, I mean, this has been happening in baseball for literally 100 years.
And you can't change the rules based on the severity of the injury of the player involved.
Yeah, I mean, and I get it. Is it, you know, people are like, well, it's not a baseball play. He didn't really go for the base. Well, no, he was trying to break up the double play. And I think this is kind of what happens. And maybe I'm even part of it with, like, a confirmation bias because we're the Dodger station, so I see it the Dodger way. But, you know, that's what won the game. That play, breaking up the double play, you know, allowed the, you know, the extra out, and that's the inning they have the rally, and they went on to win this game. So as much as some people might hate that play, you know, what Chase Utley did is, you know, part and parcel what led to the Dodgers' victory. And, you know, players like Chase Utley that have been doing this for a long time, that's why they traded for him. You know, average be damned, age be damned. This is a guy that knows how to win, and that's
that's a winning play, you know.
And okay, let me ask you this, Matt. Did the umpires make a mistake in calling him safe? I mean, everybody thought he was out. He thought he was out. No one even touched the bag, right?
Right. Well, and that's another – look, and this is why baseball players have to be the stupidest people on the face of the earth, because none of us can figure out what the hell they're talking about half the time. You know, half of them say this is a good, clean play, you know, clean, hard slide, and it's just someone playing the game the right way. The other half say it's crap and that he's intentionally going after his leg. The half of them say, I hate this neighborhood play, and if you don't know what the neighborhood play is, when you're turning a double play, as long as you're within, you know, a few inches, we'll say 6 inches of the bag, you don't have to touch the bag. Well, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Yeah. I mean, how
it would be like awarding touchdowns based on getting to the 6-inch line.
Exactly. That was in the neighborhood.
So now you have the neighborhood plays in effect, and that's why Chase Utley was safe, even though he never touched the bag.
Yeah, he was a lot further from the bag than Ruben Tejada was, too, by
exactly.
the way.
Exactly. But then he was, and that's kind of what's funny about all of this, is right. So here's a guy, 30 minutes this transpires, his leg is put, the poor guy's freaking out, his season's over, his teammates are pissed, and Chase Utley's like, I gotta go back out there. I gotta go back and stand on that base right now.
Maybe it's just me, but has the umping been particularly horrible during these playoffs?
No, I don't think so, Allie. I mean, I think they're, you know, obviously in game one of the Cubs-Cards game, they were pretty pissed about the strike zone.
Yeah.
And felt like that strike zone was way too big. And that's why, you know, 5 years ago I started my campaign of robot umps. And I was only half
robot umps. Like, if we, it's a good band. I saw them last night at the Troub.
If we have this technology, if we at home are sitting and staring at this pitch track, how the hell can these umps do their job if we know exactly what the strike zone is,
right,
and we see that it's a ball by 6 inches and they're calling it a strike? Everybody watching is pretty pissed off.
Yeah, you do want to take as much human error out of sports as possible. I agree with that. Were you surprised when, after the game, when the thing was settled, that the play was essentially overturned and Chase Utley was suspended?
Very much so, because this is just the, you know, especially if we have video, and it doesn't matter, you know, what it is. And we saw this, you know, we see this with criminal events, you know, when there's video attached to it, things just become that much more impactful. You know, when you hear about, and I just think about it in relation to the NFL and some of these suspensions and, you know, the whole thing that they're going through now with Greg Hardy versus Ray Rice and trying to compare, you know, punching your wife in the face versus choking a woman and throwing her on a bed of guns and what the suspension should be. Well, one had video attached to it.
Right.
And that's why everyone freaked out. And that's why everyone's freaking out over Chase Utley, is we know this guy broke his leg. We know it was on that play. We know it was a ridiculous attempt at sliding into second base because of where his body was. But that's just the way these guys have been playing the game forever. You know, that if a guy's trying to turn a double play, especially if you're in the playoffs, especially if you're down one game to none and your two aces are the two that have pitched and you're losing by a run right now, then guess what? You're going to do everything you can to win that game if you're a competitor like Chase Utley is. And this kind of crap is going to happen.
This is the voice of Matt Money Smith here on the Kevin Bean Show. So there's going to be some sort of decision about what happens to Utley, whether he's able to play before the game tonight in New York.
Yeah, they're going to expedite the appeal, so it's not something that allows him to play in the playoffs. And then after the playoffs are over, they're like, oh, yeah, you're suspended 2 games. And he's like, oh, yeah, double middle fingers, I retire. So I think they're going to expedite it for today.
All right, Matt, we know you got to be somewhere else in 10 seconds, so we'll let you go with our thanks. We appreciate you coming on the Kevin Bean Show, dude.
Yeah, I got to go talk to some sizzle chest in New York. I'm WFAN now, so thanks, guys. You could have got me longer, and I could have said, hey, sorry, I was on an interview this morning. I could do there.
You're still talking. We already said goodbye.
All right, fine.
Okay.
Stop laughing,
Alex. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Look, we've given away a lot of crazy stuff over the years here on K-Rock.
Yeah.
This one is in the upper echelon. In terms of things in this country, this may be the greatest prize we've ever given away. Would you say that might be accurate, Kevin?
Yeah, it's a little crazy.
It's insane. I mean, live like a millionaire for a night is basically what we're saying. Muse is coming to town. As you know, a second night has just been added to Muse at the Staples Center on December the 19th, I think. So we're giving away a pair of tickets to see Muse. Now, already you go, wow, they're one of the greatest live bands in the world. I get to go see Muse. That's awesome. Well, you're also, when you win, be qualified for the Suite Life with Muse, which includes a suite at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, a limo ride to Staples Center, a suite at Staples Center. You get to go on stage to introduce the band, and We give you $25,000. All of that for one person. That's going to be the grand prize drawing that we'll do among people who win tickets to go see Muse. And you can be one of those people if you want to call K-Rock right now at 1-800-520-1067. Now, they're going to have to earn it this time around, right?
Yep. They just need to know the music. If you know the music, you'll probably be able to do it, I would guess.
All right. If you like Muse, call us now, 1-800-520-1067. Your chance to win tickets to see them at Staples Center and qualify for the Sweet Life coming up just after 7. Allie's here in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. Good morning, dear.
You guys, we double-checked all of this, right, with the contest? Like, it's
I think so.
Real?
I mean, I think Dave said it's legit. This is, we got all the paperwork, and it's all apparently accurate.
I'm not positive. I'm not positive.
It does seem too good to be true.
It's too good.
I'm just going to put that out there.
I mean, $2,500.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah,
$25,000. Where's that money coming from?
I have no idea.
Right?
Don't know.
Speaking of money, let's talk about the weekend's box office. The Martian. Second week came in at $37 million. Have you seen it yet, Kevin?
I have. I loved it.
Loved it.
Yep. And Matt Damon is so great. Like, he's better than the movie, even.
Wow.
No?
No, I would agree. I love Matt Damon, but that's big.
He's great. He's got charisma.
Oh.
I have a little crush on him.
I was going to say, it's nice to hear another man talk about a dude's charisma. Yeah. That's delightful.
You can actually see it in the movie, even with the spacesuit?
Oh, jeez. I mean, we were doing so good, Bean.
Oh, that's fun.
Hotel Transylvania came in second at 20.3 million. And Pan debuted 17.4 million, third place, adequate, until you remember that it cost over $150 million to produce. So that, I believe, is what they call a flop.
Mm. A colossal disaster is what I heard a great man once said.
Disaster. Exactly. Coming
easy.
In fourth, The Intern at 8.7 million. Sicario, fifth at 7.4 million. Sixth, Maze Runner, The Scorched Trials, followed by The Walk, Black Mass, Everest, and coming in 10th, The Visit at 2.4 million. All right, last
the
hour.
The Pink Fruit
Mountains. Oh, not in the top 10?
Strangely, it must have just missed. Yeah, I only have the top 10, so I assume maybe 11th
probably
or 12th.
11, yeah.
Real good movie. We talked last hour about Kevin's hero, Lord, Savior, whatever you want to call him, Kevin James, getting a new show on CBS. Well, apparently, they're just handing out shows left and right because Bruno Mars is getting his own TV show. He's in development with NBC on a comedy about a dysfunctional family from the Bronx whose life changes when they take in their, quote, wide-eyed, hopeless, optimistic 10-year-old nephew, and some of it based on Bruno Mars' life.
Okay. I did not know he was an actor.
I did not either. I did not either.
I did not either.
Something happening now, The View. You know, Joy Behar, she was on The View, then she left for quite a while, had a show on CNN. She's now back on The View, but she's also going to be doing a late-night talk show on TLC. Deadline reports the weekly half-hour show called Late Night Joy will debut on Wednesday, November 4th, and it will be shot in her New York City apartment, featuring old friends including Sherry Shepherd, Don Lemon, Teresa Caputo, and Colin Quinn.
Man, they should just call that Kevin, Don't Watch This.
What is happening?
It's terrible.
It's just everything I said doesn't make sense.
Do you not like her, Kevin, or do you not know who she is?
I know who she is, but just everything about The View annoys me. They all annoy me on that show, so I can't imagine them in her apartment is going to be fun.
She's my favorite on The View, though.
Okay,
she's
fine.
She's very funny, very sharp.
And very smart.
Very witty.
Fine.
Yeah.
Good. You going to watch this show that you're talking about?
I will tune in once.
Bean?
The same.
Okay.
All right.
Look, I'm not going to outright say it sucks until I see it, and then we'll come to that conclusion probably.
All right. I'm going to tune in tonight to Gotham like I always do on Monday nights, but are you aware of who's going to be playing the Penguin's dad in season 2 of Gotham?
And now, breaking news bulletin.
Indeed it is.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, but that would be a strange choice.
Yeah. Ariana Grande?
Nope. That it?
Turd Ferguson.
Is it Turd Ferguson?
I wish it was.
If it were Turd Ferguson,
that
would be the
it
best.
So much.
Ralph Garman.
No, but he would
Dick
love to.
Again,
These nuts?
Steve.
Alice Cooper.
Actually, the real answer is even better than all of those, by the way.
I don't know how.
Okay, the real answer, Paul Rubens.
Yeah!
Oh, interesting.
Which is so perfect.
I know,
he looks so much like the dude, doesn't
he? It's not only perfect, but then, did you guys remember that he actually played the role of Penguin's father before in 1992's Batman Returns? He was Tucker Cobblepot.
I don't remember
that. This is the best.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, Gotham just keeps making really good choices.
It's a good show.
Speaking of Gotham, our little friend Michael Chiklis, as you know, is on the show now, and he'll be joining us later this week on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah. That'll be great.
Yes. Why do you say it like that?
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Because somebody's going to be here off that day.
Allie loves him.
I love him. He's a huge Patriots fan.
Allie's off one day.
One day. And he's coming in.
He's coming in.
It's hurtful. All of these stars were born on the 12th of October.
Not giving you.
Really?
I need some delivery.
I actually delayed because I saw you reaching. Okay. All of these stars were born today on the 12th of October. Actor Hugh Jackman is 47, Kirk Cameron, 45, and Josh Hutcherson is 23 years old. I'm Allie McKeon for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Very excited to welcome Danielle Pennebaker to the Kevin and Bean Show next hour. She, of course, plays Dr. Caitlin Snow on The Flash, and she'll be joining us. Also, Andrew Siciliano recaps the NFL weekend for us. First, though, this is great, you guys. December 18th is already sold out, Staples Center, Muse. There's a second night on the 19th going on sale this Friday at 10, and we are giving away tickets to that right now at 1-800-520-1067. You win your Muse tickets and you are qualified for something we call the Sweet Life with Muse.
The Sweet Life with Muse.
You guys are sweet.
It's gonna be sweet. Super sweet. Sweet, 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 sweet.
So sweet. Madness.
The Sweet Life with Muse.
That grand prize drawing is going to be 1 week from right now, next Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. If you win that, you get a suite at the show. You get to introduce the band. You also get a suite at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. You get a limo ride to the show and $25,000 in cash. I don't know why, but
still haven't double checked that, but we're trying to talk about it.
That's what it is. All right, Kevin, how's this game played? We have contestants on the line ready to go.
You know, we're not exactly sure why this happens, but there are a lot of different styles of music that cover great bands. So for in this example, we have piano versions of Muse songs. So you're not necessarily going to hear the lyrics, but they will be playing on the piano a Muse song. All you have to do is identify it.
Okay.
Why does this exist? We don't know.
Huh.
Maybe it exists for parents who love rock and roll music that want something they sort of recognize to put their kids to sleep to.
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe. All right. So identify the Muse song. You go into the drawing to win the Muse tickets. Who's our first contestant?
All right. First, we have Alex in Anaheim. Hi, Alex.
Hi.
Are you ready to identify your Muse song?
I'm ready.
Good luck. Here you go.
I don't think we need that, but what is it, Alex?
Oh, well, that's harder than what I thought. I go with
a Muse song.
With,
yep. You could take a guess if you don't know.
Pick one.
Soon.
Pick a song.
Supermassive Black Hole.
Sorry, it's Uprising.
I think I prefer the Muse version, but thank you for playing, Alex. Who's next?
Next is Corey, who's calling from Santa Clarita. Hi there.
Hey, what's up?
We are giving away Muse tickets. You ready?
I guess so. Let's try it.
Good luck. These are
okay.
Terrible, by
I
the way.
I think it's kind of delightful.
Oh, I right. hate them more.
Corey, what say you?
Mercy?
Sorry, that was Madness.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right, 0 for 2 so far. Thank you for playing, Corey. Who's our next contestant?
Next is Teresa in Linwood. Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean
Teresa,
Show.
Teresa, how have you been doing so far listening on hold, the first two callers?
I didn't do so good. I can barely hear.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck. Listen up. Here's your music.
What's that song?
Hysteria?
Sorry, it's Super Massive Black Hole.
It's going pretty well.
Is this the third hardest game in the world now?
It might have be. Two. You know, it's interesting because we've done this before with banjos.
Yeah,
and I don't know why banjos seem a little bit easier, don't they?
Yeah, I don't know.
Piano, I think.
You suck.
All right, 0 for 3 so far. Let's try again. Who's next?
Go to Matt in Pomona. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
Not well, Matt. Actually, kind of tough, this contest. Yeah, how are you feeling about your chances right now?
Not good, but
okay.
There's a first time for everything, right?
Beer Mug, who put you on hold, alerts us that you may or may not be high. Can you comment, Matt?
I don't know if it's legal to say these things.
So yes, okay. All right.
Yeah, I plead the seventh.
All right, you've just answered my question. All right, Matt, listen up. What's your Muse song?
I totally know this. It's totally Starlight, isn't it?
Yes, it is Starlight.
Oh, I didn't see that coming.
Oh, no.
Who would have guessed that the man who pleads the seventh would have gotten one? Yeah. I'm so impressed with you.
You haven't won yet.
You haven't won. You're in the drawing, sweetness.
All right, let's do one more. Let's see if we can get Matt some company here on line five. Daniel is going to be our final contestant for the Sweet Life of Muse for this hour. Hey, Daniel, how are you, buddy?
Hey, guys. This is really hard. Can I just have Bean hum the song for me?
It couldn't be any worse, could it? All right, it helps if you're high, but listen up. What's this Muse song? What do you think there, Daniel?
I think I got it. It's Knights of Sidonia.
It is Knights of Sidonia. Two very worthy competitors, Matt and Daniel, are both on the line. Both have qualified. Only one will win tickets for Muse on December 19th at Staples Center. Be qualified for the Sweet Life with Muse. Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
Oh, I just drew Matt. Oh, yes! Matt.
He just drew Matt.
Oh.
Hey, dude. Yes. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks for playing the game.
All right. I am actually very excited about this phone topic because I don't think we've done it before. But over the weekend on Twitter, I noticed there was a trending topic called hashtag why I was on the news. And it was really fascinating to see all the various ways that people have been on the news, featured on a newscast. Everything from one person said I was giving my opinion on an issue that nobody cares about to I shaved my balls in a public fountain. I mean, so there was a wide variety of people who were either interviewed or were just doing crazy things. There was another one that I saw who was celebrating and drunk at 7 a.m. on the St. Patrick's Day and ended up on the news. Another one who got hit by a car while taking a selfie, and she was on the news.
Wow.
All sorts of crazy reasons. And I started to think, I don't think we've done this before, but wouldn't this be fascinating? And then we started going around the room and realized that every single one of us pretty much has been on the news for one thing or another, unrelated to our job that's in media where you would expect we might end up on the news. I mean, completely even before we had these jobs, we were on the news. Right, Kevin?
Yep. Yeah, I was.
How about you?
I was, and I wish I had a lot of video of this because it always makes me laugh. I was a hole that was walking behind the reporter for no reason, no matter what story they're reporting.
Yeah.
And then I
they just happened to be doing a live shot on the street, and you saw them and had to get into the picture.
All the time. And then I would just see how many times I could walk back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, just thinking, if any of my friends see this, it'll be funny.
But you didn't interrupt. You just walked?
Nope. Didn't interrupt at all.
Good for you.
Just walk behind. Yeah.
Allie, you spent a lot of years in news.
I did. 14 years.
Are there lots of people who want to be on camera?
Oh,
there are a million Kevins out there?
There's a million Kevins. They have become quite vocal. Some will want to grab the mic. Sure. A lot yell the same thing. They are not delightful.
Yeah, that's not delightful.
Is it getting tougher and tougher to do live shots out on the streets?
Yeah, because you're trying to do the report, but you're also looking around you like, oh, that guy looks suspicious. That guy's about to go off at any second. So not very easy for them out there.
Prior to your Channel 5 days and other TV that you've done, were you ever on the news just as a private citizen?
Indeed, I was.
What? All
it was during a radio job that I had at Extra Sports 1150,
okay,
which I don't think exists anymore. Sorry about that. I lived on a billboard until the Clippers won their first game.
Oh, that's right.
Is that how they went 0-16?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job.
So the lovely,
was up there for a year and a half.
The lovely John Ireland dared me one day to live on a billboard. And I said, okay. So it was at the corner of Lancashire and Cahuenga. It was the, it's the something bar and grill. And I lived on top of this bar and grill with a huge Extra Sports 1150 billboard behind it with, I think, Kevin Brown from the Dodgers at the time was on that billboard. And I lived up there. And there would be news stations morning, noon, and night doing live shots from up there. So
that's crazy.
It was a fun time. Really
was.
How
long were you up there?
I think close to 8 days.
And how do you take care of business when you're up there?
I would have to shimmy down the side of the building and go into the bar and grill. But by like day two, Ortho had delivered mattresses. They had spliced in cable for us up there. It was better than my apartment in Woodland Hills at the time.
And they won flash card.
And they won, and you were like, I'd like to stay.
I was like, I'm good. I can stay up here.
I don't need to come down.
We're going to take your calls. If you've ever been on the news, especially for an interesting reason, either you were they did a story about you or you were interviewed for something, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Why you were on the news. Dave, you can't come back. So you were on the news as well, right?
Yeah, I realized I was just on the news twice. Once was when I was coming into work. I actually, a car chase caught up to me, and I followed the cops. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, I do. I was disappointed
I started running out of gas, so I left. But I was on the news for that.
Stick with them, Dave. Stick with them. Stick with them.
You know, they were covering it, and I was right behind it was the lead cop car and then me in my little Sentra following up. And I was, like, up to his bumper, and I was on the news, and I saw it later. But another time was actually work.
How fast were you going, by the way, to stay part of that car chase?
It was about 80. Yeah. Sweet. And the cop was next to me telling me to wave back, and I was, like, pretending like I didn't see him. Like, I was just driving.
Because what are they going to do? They're not going to pull you over and give you a ticket.
Right?
They got bigger problems,
Like, their lights are already on, so I don't know if they're pulling me over or not.
Right. Kevin, you must be so jealous of that.
Yeah.
Dave was in the middle of a high-speed car chase.
Yeah, that was fun.
It was at the beginning of the show, too,
right? Yeah, it was,
and
like,
so
a five.
I was like, I don't care if you're late, man. Keep on it. Then he broke off because he was running out of gas.
Yeah.
Loser.
But another time was work-related when I attempted to watch TV for 100 hours. Everybody came and did morning shoots with me. And, you know, at that time, the very first time, we weren't really strict on rules. So I was doing interviews and stuff, watching myself on TV. I was like, hey, that's me. There I am. Yeah, so that was a good time.
By the way, for folks who weren't with us back then, Dave broke the existing Guinness Book World Records television watching record for most hours in a row, and he did it twice and is still not in the book because of our shoddy record keeping.
We messed up the first time, so we said, Dave, this time, seriously, we know the rules. We're going to really keep track. We're going to do it right. So we talked him into doing it again.
Yeah.
And again, he got denied because we screwed it up somehow. Yeah.
Come on, Dave. Three times a charm. Let's do it again.
No.
All right, let's take a couple of calls. 1-800-520-1067. Why were you on the news? Let's start with Gilbert. He's in Stanton. Like, that's a real place on line one to get us going.
Hey, Gilbert.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Where is Stanton?
It's right next to, like, Garden Grove, Anaheim, that whole area. It's a real small city.
Right. I will allow it. All right, how are you on the news?
So, basically, I was at a recycle center. I see this guy has this mortar, or looks like a missile, on the back of a recycle truck. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. He goes, yeah, they won't take it. Do you want it? And I was like, sure. Drove around with it for like 3 days in my car. My coworker was polishing the tip because it had like a brass piece on it with a little dial. We thought it was the coolest thing ever. My boss finally said, wait a minute. Get that thing out of here. What if it's still alive? And I was like, whoa, I never even thought about that.
What?
Yeah, huh, right. I was 20, you know.
Never even thought about
that. Just thrashing around in the back of his car for 3 days.
It was actually in the passenger seat. So every turn, it would roll from one side to the
other.
Oh, Gilbert.
You're so lucky to be alive.
So how do you source something like that and find out whether it's dangerous or not?
This is before September 11th, so it wasn't that big of a deal yet. And I called the police department because my boss was like, get that thing out of here. They say, you know what, put it in the trunk of your car, drive it to a police station, don't bring it inside, go inside, let them know what you have, an officer will come out to your vehicle and get it. Perfect, sounds great. So in the morning on the way to work, I stop to what is a fake city, Stanton substation, and go in there, tell them what I have. They don't believe me. They walk out. I open the trunk. As soon as he sees it, he steps back and puts his hand on his gun. He goes, what do you want me to do with that? And I was like, they said you'd take it. I called. And they're like, I don't know if you value your life, but I value mine. I'm not touching it. they try to send me home. And I go, wait a minute. If it's that dangerous, why am I going to leave with it? And so they ended up calling the bomb squad because it was military. They had to bring the military from Camp Pendleton. And one of the Marines had to bring it out, put it into this box container. They closed down the entire area, the school, the Stanton City Council building, just the library, YMCA, everyone.
And what did it end up being? What was it?
It was a mortar that is usually on a ship that they shoot to create like a smoke screen.
Right.
It was during like the Korean War era, mm-hmm. So it dated back to then, and it was still alive.
Did they blow it up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Investigator. So I was there from 7 o'clock in the morning, and they didn't let me go till 6 o'clock in the evening.
You're so on the watch list, Gilbert, aren't you?
You'll never fly again.
Man, like, hey, luckily it was before 9/11. You know.
Otherwise, you keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, you make a lot of good decisions, Gilbert. All right, sir. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Wow, imagine being on the news for driving around for several days with a live bomb in your car, basically. That's crazy. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Got some good ones on hold. We'll take your calls right after this on K-Rock. Hashtag trending over the weekend, why I was on the news. We thought it might be fun to hear from the Kevin and Bean listeners as to how you ended up on the news at 1-800-520-1067. I have been on the news a bunch of times, Kevin. Most famously,
Gene Baxter and Kevin Ryder were lying.
That's probably my favorite of all of the appearances on the news. But prior to this little dog and pony show, I lived in San Francisco. As you know, before I moved to Los Angeles, I lived in San Francisco. And if I recall correctly, at some point, there was a Jell-O shop that opened up in San Francisco. You know how these come along in various cities from time to time.
Was it a Jell-O shop?
Shop. No, a Jell-O shop where
just
they
Jell-O.
Sold. Yes, where they sold Jell-O. And maybe they sold Jell-O shots, too. I don't remember what the details were. But I happened to be down there when the shop was being when they were interviewing people in the shop and about the shop, the fact that it was opening. And there were a lot of people, you know, loving on Jell-O because people were going in there and getting it for lunch and stuff.
A lot of people love it on Jell-O.
Yeah. I was on the news in San Francisco, and my Chiron subject line under my name was Jell-O enthusiast. And I have to tell you that it was such a proud moment for me that I was known as a Jell-O enthusiast.
Oh, God.
That's why I was on the news.
That is a desperate news station right there.
Right?
Come on.
All right. We got some good ones here. Let's start with Evelyn in Fullerton, please. She's up first on line 6. We're trying to find out why everybody was on the news.
Hey, Evelyn.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi there. You were on the news for what?
I was. I was in high school, and one of our teachers got accused for selling pot to the students. And we were surrounded by, like, news stations, but they weren't allowed to come onto the school. Luckily, that day I had ditched. And so they were able to interview me off the school campus and ask me questions of how I felt about all that stuff.
And you were for it, right?
I'm for smoking pot, but I don't know about teachers selling it to the students.
I just feel like it's a matter of convenience. Why make a student go all over town looking to buy weed when he's right there in the classroom anyway? I mean, that just makes good sense to me. All right, great. I bet your parents were super proud to see that report.
Oh, yeah. The best part was that it was a Spanish news. So they were like, woo!
I didn't really follow that. But thank you, Evelyn. We'll leave it there. Let's go to John, Simi Valley, up next on line 5, please. They were like, woo!
All right, John, hi.
Hi, good morning.
Hi. So you were on the news how?
Yeah, I was on the news twice. The first time was when it was announced that Magic Johnson had contracted HIV, and Mark Brown was on a campus at USC asking different students for reactions, and it was pretty it had been pretty fresh. So, you know, I had some mixed reactions, and so it was that was the first time.
All right, and then, that's a good one.
The second time was more recently. I live in Simi Valley, which means wind in Indian.
Right.
So the wind gets pretty gusty. So basically, the weather team came over to see how my trampoline had jumped the fence and gone over into the next person's yard.
Wow.
So they
did they get an exclusive on that story?
They did get the exclusive, yes.
Did they lead the news with it? Do you remember?
They, it was definitely on. I actually taped it. It was on my DVR, and they actually showed, you can see the divot spots where there's, you know, where it actually sat. And then they showed kind of the path that it took because my neighbor is actually below me. So it had to, you know, jump the fence and then it traveled whatever, you know, 50 feet, you know, down a 45 degree grade. So
I love that they had experts mapping the course of your trampoline. That's awesome. I bet there was somebody watching who said, woo! Thank you, John. Appreciate the call so much. Wow, we got some good ones here. Let's go to Nick CB Valley, please. He's up next on line four. Why were you on the news, Nick?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good, thanks.
Good, good. What had happened was I was at my buddy Justin's house, and for some reason, the alarm in my car was going off. I don't know how it was going off or why, but there was his neighbor. And he had been drinking, and he got real upset about it. So he decided to go down and put three shots into my engine to shut it up.
Three shots with a gun?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wait, your neighbor shot at your car because the alarm was going off?
Yeah, well, it was my buddy's neighbor. But what got me on the news was the next day they went and interviewed him, and he let him know that I was in the military. I was just getting ready to go on deployment the week after this happened.
Uh-huh. So and that's relevant how?
What's that?
And how does that tie in?
Nothing. Like, they just didn't really seem to care. I mean, that my car got shot up until they found out I was in the military. When they found out I was in the military, then everybody wanted to talk to me. After
that. I see. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. I was only down here on leave, and then I was going to go back, you know, and get ready for deployment because I was leaving for 7 months.
See, you can shoot up anyone's car you want as long as it's not a soldier, man.
Yeah. Well, the worst thing is, it wasn't even my car. It was my mom. She was just letting me borrow it while I was down.
Well, it was a bad choice on her part. Right. Tell you that.
Yeah. You obviously don't take care of stuff. Thanks for the call. No, appreciate that. Thanks for your service. Wow. We got time for a couple more, Kevin. Who do you like here?
Boy, I don't know. I love.
Are you seeing
I
Fred?
I love Danny. What? Fred?
What the heck? That makes no sense.
Yeah. Let's try Fred. Let's find out what. Let's poke holes in Fred's story. Marina Del Rey, you're up on the Kevin Abid Show. Why were you on the news, Fred?
I was on the news because about 5 years ago, a boat left out of Marina Del Rey, a sailboat, and it was sailing around the world, and it got kidnapped in the Somalian waters.
Okay.
And it was two couples on the boat who ultimately got killed. But after it got kidnapped, they came to the yacht club that I belong to and interviewed me because I'm a licensed captain, and I had worked on the boat before they left.
Okay.
And they asked me, you know, what I thought of it, and my response was, you know, kind of like the stove is hot.
Yeah.
You know, Somalian waters, you know there's pirates. I can't believe that they went in those waters.
Did a guy get on the boat and say, I am the captain now?
But, that's basically what they did. But, you know, it's just like, as a licensed captain, you have the greatest respect for the ocean.
Sure.
And if you know there's pirates in those waters, why do you sail in
those
waters?
Don't go there, right. I got you.
Wow. So you had been on that boat prior to the journey where it got where it was taken over by Somali pilots?
Oh, well, I worked on it when it was in Marina Del Rey. I also
gotcha. Okay. Very interesting. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate that. He sounds like he's on the water now, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
All right, let's do one more. This is JP San Juan Capistrano, line 8, please.
Hey, JP.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, thank you. You're on the news for what?
So I was going to San Diego State in 2007, 2008, and there was a syphilis outbreak at the time that they were starting to interview students for. Anyway, I was on my way to an early class and just had my headphones in and got pulled aside by a woman in front of a camera, and she just starts firing off questions about how I felt about, you know, the current syphilis outbreak at SDSU.
Did the Chiron underneath you say syphilis?
Enthusiast?
it didn't say syphilis enthusiast or anything like that, but concerned student or something, yeah. But the funniest part about all of it was, you know, they started asking me questions about it, and I said I wasn't really concerned because if you're honest with, you know, who you've been with for the past month or whatever, then I wouldn't think that that's something you have to be necessarily, you know, too concerned about. Then she informed me that apparently there's a 6-month time frame that you need to be concerned about syphilis outbreak, and I'm just sitting on there on TV with this deadpan, oh crap look on my face.
If I'm you, as soon as she says that, I turn and run.
Right, I got calls to make.
It was a bright, bright day for SDSU.
That is fantastic. Now, do you remember, I'm glad you called, JB, do you remember if Ally McKay was either the woman doing the interview or the woman that gave you syphilis? Do you remember either of those?
Oh, I hope both, JP.
No, but I did call her right after to let her know to worry about it.
Oh, JP! Hey!
Well done.
Thank you, JP. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Actress Danielle Pennebaker from The Flash joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we talk NFL with our friend Andrew Siciliano. Hey, right now, ahead of the Showbiz Beat, let's open up these phone lines for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. It's been a few days since the listeners have had a chance to weigh in on any topic. What are you hoping we hear about today, Kevin?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on with sports. All TV shows are coming back. What's good that we're maybe not aware of? You know, anything like that.
You
run a business, you want to plug the hell out of it?
Nope.
You know, not favorite. Plug that guy.
So any topic that you'd like to get on the air, if you have a question about the Kevin and Bean Show or a comment about the Kevin and Bean Show, seriously, dive deep. Get into our heads here. 1-800-520-1067. What's good is coming up just after 8. You can call right now on any topic. You can also text. What?
Go ahead.
You can also text us anytime you want at the number 2, KROQ, that's 25767, if you cannot call from where you are. So your calls are on the way. First, though, here's Allie in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
Really plug your business, though, a lot.
I don't think that's
go right. Over the top.
I don't think we want that.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe the opposite.
Okay.
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 Bean just sent me this, so it is indeed breaking news to him. Maybe not so much to us.
Oh, really?
Taylor Swift and Calvin Harris have been dating since the beginning of summer, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, Harris recently went on a relaxing trip to a Thai massage parlor, and things might have changed.
Ruh-roh.
Dun-dun-dun. Immediately you start thinking, uh-oh, what happened at that massage parlor?
What did happen at that massage parlor?
We don't know. But according to friends, if you will, and I use that loosely, Harris was overwhelmed by the circus surrounding the couple's love affair. This is a direct quote. Talk of them marrying freaked both of them out. Neither is ready, and suddenly having all this speculation took its toll. Calvin has found the circus surrounding their relationship overwhelming. It was incredibly intense, so they've taken a step back and are cooling things off.
All right, now I have many questions about this story.
Right.
She's a bitch.
Not the least of which is we don't have any reason to believe that anything about this story is true. But if it were, mm-hmm. Can you imagine what a nightmare it would be dating somebody as famous as Taylor Swift?
Absolutely.
You're already Calvin Harris. You're already famous enough,
yeah.
Right? You don't need the additional nonsense that comes with dating somebody like her. I wouldn't imagine.
Didn't she just buy a castle in Scotland to be closer to him?
I don't know. Half the things that are rumored that she bought, she ended up not buying. So who knows what's real and what's not. And the other thing that I have, and this is a question for you, Allie, is let's say they are dating, and let's say he was on a vacation away from her, and he did go to a Thai massage parlor, and the thing happened. Is that a deal breaker?
A massage? No. Why would a massage be a deal breaker?
I'm saying the thing happened is what I'm saying.
Oh.
Is that a deal breaker?
Yeah. Yeah, really? It's a deal breaker.
What are you, uptight? Really?
What are you uptight indeed?
Are you kidding? Are you really asking
me? I'm asking you. Look, he's not cheating on her. He's not having a relationship with her.
He's getting a massage.
He's getting a massage.
Holy crap. The guy can't relax.
He's just trying to get some of the stress out of his body from dating Taylor Swift. What are you going to hold that against him now?
Bitch.
You
right?
Really
thank you,
don't
Rodney.
See getting I'm saying, a happy ending as cheating?
I'm asking you,
who gets hurt? What's the downside if Calvin Harris gets a little rub and tug in Thailand while his girlfriend is doing a concert in Des Moines, Iowa? I'm asking you.
You are rotten. You are rotten for even asking
that Chip, is that a ridiculous question? You're a girl.
Yes. And I agree with Allie. I'm sorry to say.
Deal breaker?
Yeah.
Thank you for being sorry to have to agree
sorry
with me.
To say.
Yes, it's a deal. It's cheating regardless if there's no emotional connection.
It's $20. It's services provided for $20, for God's sake.
However it happened, he's good to be away from her. And that probably helps his life.
I like that we're acting like this all really happened.
Yeah, we don't
like
know.
I said, we don't know. We don't have any idea. But I'm just saying, if you're Taylor Swift and Calvin Harris does that, let it go.
No!
Yes!
Let it go.
No!
Let it go.
Come on now.
Can we get Donna on the line?
Senora Nostecki.
Okay. Didn't think so.
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
All right. I'm going to put Allie down as a yes.
Nope. Put me down as a no. Absolute no. All right. Big fans of Matt Damon's film, The Martian, which made $37 million in its second week in the box office today, have this to be happy about. NASA has released several images for fans of The Martian that show real-life locations related to where stranded and fictional astronaut Mark Watney was. So you can go to these maps and kind of map out what happened in the movie. How cool is that?
But we don't have to, right?
None cool. Zero cool.
I thought at least Bean would like this.
You would think Bean would be all over
right?
that.
Right?
Yeah. No, it's dumb.
No?
Mm-mm.
I mean, I guess it's fine.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what are you going to get out of that? You're going to look at a map and go, yep, that's where this thing in that didn't really happen.
You're Pluto. You are Clyde Tumbaugh. There were pictures released, and you were like, who's the best?
Yeah, because...
And you love maps.
I do love maps. But what I'm saying is the story is fictional. If you were looking at the spot on Mars where a real thing happened, I would be interested in that.
The story is fictional, but it's a real location on Mars.
Okay, it's fine. I don't think I need that much Martian.
I just think you're terrific.
I think it's fine that it exists.
I hate both of you so much today.
I'm not against it. It's just not for me.
If it's not for you, then who's it for?
Who's right. it for?
You're lying. You're excited. Back to Allie.
You know what? All these stars were all born on today, the 12th of October. Josh Hutcherson, he is 23. Kirk Cameron, 45. And actor Hugh Jackman is a good-looking 47. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, welcome to Showbiz.
That's pretty much ended, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's over.
It's not coming back, man.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 8:06 on the world's famous K-Rock.
Want to take another run at that?
Not really.
Danielle Pennebaker is here, The Flash. We'll talk to her coming up in about 10 minutes first. How about what's good?
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
Excited to talk to you, the Kevin and Bean listener, about something that we have missed or should be spending more time on, and especially Johnny's call in Laverne. I'm very interested in. He's up first on line 2.
All right, hey Johnny.
Hey, good morning, guys. What's good?
What's good?
What's good?
So I got to DJ the USA Mexico game. So I was playing music for you, Kev. I think you were there.
Wait, there was a DJ there?
Oh, Kevin.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, well, someone's got to play the music.
I don't remember.
In other words, explain to me, how does that work at a soccer game? When do you play music?
Well, you need music for, before the game, when everyone's coming into the stadium and halftime and then afterwards.
Okay.
So during the game, it's an easy job. I get to sit there and watch the game, which is awesome.
And how many people? It was over 90,000 people were there Saturday, right?
Packed, yeah. 92,000, I think, was the final count. Wow. So,
all right.
And I was just calling to talk to you guys about it because it was like 80% Mexico fans. It was basically a home game for them.
At least 80%.
It was crazy. It was crazy. And then, Kevin, I don't know if you saw this before the game, but we were doing the wave, and every time it got over to the side of the stadium where the U.S. fans, all the Mexican fans would boo them as the wave passed their area.
Boo the wave.
First of all, death penalty for anyone who does the wave in 2015. I'm with the Mexicans on that. But second of all, how tense is that, the Mexico and U.S. crowd being in the same place at the same time, Kevin? What do you think, Kevin?
It's crazy. And Mexican fans are passionate.
I heard a lot of people throw their pee.
That happens.
What?
They're passionate about the game, but they're less passionate about their food and drink and urine. So that at certain times during the game, it does rain all of that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it gets pretty ugly.
Whoa. Johnny, did you see anyone get arrested? I heard there were dozens and dozens of people arrested.
I didn't see any arrests from where I was, but I did, by the end of the game, I did see some of the fans throwing flares at security guards.
Yeah. So how do you get flares into the Rose Bowl? I thought they had security.
I don't know. But there were at least three or four that got thrown down onto the field. And, the game was great.
The game was terrible. And I'll tell you why. Because U.S. soccer blows because of the coach, Jurgen Klinsmann. He sucks. He needs to be fired. They weren't doing the basics. Johnny, they weren't connecting passes. This is stuff you learn in junior high.
Why is this the coach's fault and not the player's fault?
Because who's responsible for all of that? The defense was terrible. They wouldn't clear it. They would just leave it in the middle of the field. Mexico was getting shot after shot after shot after shot. He's so ineffective. He's terrible.
Why is your face purple?
Because he needs Mexico. That's right. An improvement. Let's give him that.
No, they played terrible. They were lucky it was only 3-2.
I have never seen this vein on your
the
forehead.
The U.S. should have lost by three more goals than they did.
I'm surprised Kevin remembers the game.
How?
That's a good point, Sean.
Dare you.
Johnny, great call. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, we really appreciate it.
All right, love you, too.
Oh, by the way, when I was leaving, a guy said, better luck next time, Marshmallow.
Oh, well, it's nicer than saying you smell like
mayonnaise.
And I
thought, you know what? True, better next time because we lost, and I really... I'm sort of a marshmallow, so
especially in that crowd.
So yeah. I high-fived him.
Especially in an 80% Mexico crowd, you are a marshmallow.
Right.
All right, let's go to Manuel Line 4, please. He's got a tangentially sports-related question, but it's right. actually a much bigger issue.
Hey, Manuel.
Hey, what's going on, you guys? Good morning.
What's good?
I'm calling because, I get tired of watching these NFL games, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, pops out this token woman commentator. Adding something like, well, we just saw someone still get hurt, and we're going to follow them to the locker room for more information, and that's it. Why do they have women commentating in sports?
Why? Allie, we're going to let you handle this
one. Wow, Manuel, hold on. Let me take off my shoes and my earring right now.
Are you
kidding me, Manuel?
I'm not. Have you, not disrespect, Allie, and I've seen your reporting also, but it's kind of the same thing they do with you. They pass the buck. They say, well, let me ask you something, Allie. And you say something that's really not that important.
Manuel, first of all, you sound like a treat, and by treat, a complete dick. Here's why women are on the sidelines, because they go to them for the coach reaction. They go to them for the reaction right then. That is their job. Men do it, too. Do you have a problem with the men doing it?
Yeah, no, but have you
noticed?
No,
because you're a sexist dick, Manuel.
No.
You're a sexist dick.
Have you noticed how the coaches talk to them? Like, let me get this woman out of my face. Yeah, well, we're going to improve. We're going to change
Manuel, let me,
Wow. Let
me just weigh in on this. I noticed that there are a lot more women sideline reporters, it seems like this year than ever before, but they all, to me, they all knew what they were talking about, and they were fine.
It started with that pufferfish, what's her name, Tafoya. And Sunday Night Football.
Michelle Tafoya, one of the best at doing her job. But you just called her a puffer face. So basically you are making her just someone to look at, not someone to listen to. So, Manuel, may I just say this? F right off. No one wants to talk to you. That's why you're alone calling us right now. Bye. Hang up. We are done. Click.
Well, I had to hang up.
Wow.
A lot of anger.
By the way,
thanks for listening, Manuel.
I like Erin Andrews. I know a lot of people are not fans of hers. I like Pam Oliver. I like Pam Oliver also.
There's a lot of see a female reporter that I thought did a poor job at all.
I think Manuel might have deeper issues.
Yeah,
and that whole kerfuffle recently about that
Jessica Mendoza,
who's calling the ESPN baseball games too. I mean, it was crazy to see how many people were just automatically hating her because she was a woman.
Phil Sims, awful, adds nothing. Nobody ever says anything about him. Joe Buck, not a lot of people love him. Did he bring him up? Absolutely not, because Manuel is just a hater of the vagina. And I'm sorry, Manuel, you've had a rough go of things. I love you.
And that's what's good. There's a little show on the CW called The Flash that airs Tuesday night at 8. Did you know, Kevin, it is the highest rated show on the CW?
Did know that, yeah.
And well deserved, too. Actress Danielle Panabaker is here from the show. Let's hear a little bit of that intro for The Flash, please.
My name is Barry Allen, and I'm the fastest man alive. When I was a child, I saw my mother killed by something impossible. My father went to prison for her murder. Then an accident made me the impossible, and I became The Flash. I used my powers to find the man responsible for my mother's death. I thought I would finally get justice for my family. But I failed. It's been 6 months since the singularity. I'm on my own now. Decided it's better that way. Keeps the people I care about safe. There's only one thing I can do now. I run.
I would run, too, if I were The Flash, man. What a way to show off. Let The Flash try to do something he's not good at for a change. See how much you like that. Dr. Danielle, excuse me, Dr. Caitlin Snow is in studio with us, Danielle Panabaker. How are you, Danielle?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Fun being a doctor on TV?
It is. It can be a little difficult at times. I have to, like, phonetically sound out these crazy doctor words. there's a lot of, like, me on Google, like, pressing the buttons to have it sounded out, and then practicing and pacing around my apartment, making sure I get all the lines right.
And some of those will lead you totally astray. Those Google, they'll be totally wrong just to mess with you. Have you noticed that?
Totally. And then I get to sit and embarrass myself because I'm saying the word wrong.
It is funny because you have so many smart people on your show that deal with so many very difficult concepts and also lots of different equipment and lots of scientific principles. I imagine as a bunch of just pretty people, I would imagine it's very difficult to keep everything straight on that set.
You know what? That's what makes it fun. We get to sort of laugh and look at each other and sort of be like, this is what that is, right? That's what it means? you know, it sort of bonds us together.
You guys do such a great job, though. You know, I think a lot about this when I watch The Flash, because now we live in an age where people go to the movies and they get blown away by movies like The Avengers. Mm-hmm. And you guys are trying to do it for television in 8 days to shoot an episode, and it looks just as good. I mean, it's kind of crazy how good TV looks now compared. Remember how cheesy special effects used to be on television shows back in the day?
Absolutely.
And now you guys are movie quality, and it's kind of astonishing how much you're able to do every week.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we're so proud of the show, and we all work really hard, and it is. It's impressive. I always say you couldn't do a show like this 10 years ago because the technology wasn't there.
How do you create a singularity on television? By the way, the singularity I've been so troubled by that since I saw that last week. The most difficult concept I'm trying to get my head around. Like, what is it in layman's terms in your mind?
It's basically a black hole. They ripped a hole in the universe and it's sucking everything into
it. No one wants that.
No.
It's not good.
And The Flash did what to counter that?
Well, if you haven't seen our season 2 premiere, now would be a good time to turn down
the
volume.
Okay, so spoiler alert.
Come on, we waited a week. This is fair game.
So Flash runs into the singularity to try and stop it, and it becomes pretty obvious that he can't stop it by himself. So Firestorm, made up in part by my husband, Ronnie, goes up to the middle of the singularity to sort of explode inside of it to stop it. And they do successfully stop the singularity. Unfortunately, Ronnie didn't make it.
He didn't make it.
Like for reals, though?
Like for reals.
He could possibly come back.
I mean, that's what's fun about our show in this universe is I don't think anyone's ever really dead.
Did you have cake for him on set? Like, see you later. It was fun working with you.
No.
He could come back.
There was no see you later cake, okay. But we miss him. Okay.
So right, when you how long ago did you film that, Danielle?
Oh, my gosh. I mean,
long time, right?
Yeah. Our finale, we shot way back in April. And then when we came back, because we did some flashbacks for the first episode, that was in July.
So you've been walking around for months knowing that this was happening and not being able to tell anybody.
Yeah. I've known for a while, probably close to 9 months. I've known that he wouldn't be on the show in a sort of permanent capacity, which has been a huge bummer because Robbie's one of the greatest people. And we're so lucky to have him on the show whenever we get him.
But that's a lot of pressure, like too. That's a lot of pressure not to mess up during interviews, during all the press blitzes, everything.
It's tough. It's very tough, especially because, you know, Caitlin, all of season one was sad about him dying in the particle accelerator explosion, and then he was back, and it was this huge thing with Firestorm, and he's not with us anymore.
R.I.P.
So sad.
R.I.P.
Now we're all done.
Pour one out for the homie. So,
but he's doing awesome things in movies. So.
So last season there was a lot of time travel.
Yes.
Tell me about Earth 2.
Earth 2. This is one of those really cool concepts that our writers and creators are so ambitious. I mean, season one, to take on the Reverse Flash, who's a pretty big villain in the Flash mythology, that was awesome. And so this year they are being quite ambitious again and taking on Earth 2. So it's a very, very cool concept there. And part of the consequence of this singularity is that we're going to be introduced to some people from Earth 2.
Nice.
Now, are there doppelgangers of all of you on Earth 2? Is it the same?
I hope so. I would love that. I keep joking. Like, what's Caitlin Snow like on Earth 2?
Yeah.
Maybe she's not a doctor. Maybe she's got...
She's like a bank robber.
Maybe. That would be fun.
I don't know why.
She's a dog walker.
Why did that occur to you, Kevin? Why would she be a bank robber?
I don't know. I don't know.
It'd be so fun if she was evil on Earth 2, right?
Sure. What was your... knowledge of The Flash before you read for this show, Danielle?
So limited, so very limited. You know, I have a younger sister, so we weren't really into comic books and that sort of thing. And so this has been the best introduction in the world, because to have Geoff Johns around, who's unbelievable and totally iconic in that world, introducing us to everything. And it's fun. I talked to one of our creators this weekend and I was like, so who are the villains that are coming? I'm invested now. I can't wait.
And how weird must it have been for you? Because I'm sure you've Comic-Con to this and been around and meeting lots of fans, you know, since The Flash has been on the air. And you can literally meet someone who's been a Flash fan for 40 years, right?
It's true. My friend's dad is like a humongous Flash fan. And it's so cool. They're just so excited and so passionate, and generally the response has been so amazing. Like, people are so proud of the show and excited by it.
Do they start talking to you about stuff that you're not aware of?
A lot of people want to ask me about villains and who else is coming, and that's sometimes I'm like, I just need to Google that real quick. Back to you.
How dreamy is Grant in person?
He's wonderful. He's so much fun. He's just
but dreamy though, right?
Is he? I mean, our relationship. I see it. It's more brother-sister. Like, adore him. Like,
I'll go ahead and say real dreamy.
real dreamy. He's the best. He really is. We're so lucky to have him.
I'm glad that Grant and I don't have that standing in the way of our relationship. I don't have any of that brother-sister stuff. So I could just come out and say he's just dreamy.
He's the best.
It does look like a crazy fun show. And there's a lot of chemistry. I mean, you guys, you know, because you're all banded together so often to fight the bad guys, it seems like there's a lot of chemistry. It seems family-like, you know, on the set.
It is. We got so lucky. That doesn't always happen when you work on something. It's not always a guarantee that you're going to love everybody that you work with. And on this show, there's just some magic about it. We all really do love each other and get along so well.
Well, there's got to be one dick. There's got to be one. There's one.
No, it's such a bummer. Even Rick, who was on season one and isn't here anymore, like, we're devastated that he's gone. Like, there's no one would vote off the island.
You got to start throwing somebody under the bus, Daniel.
Come on.
Or no one will believe everything you're saying is true.
Seriously, one.
I love that she's racking her brain right now.
Damn.
No, don't let these guys.
Well, if you can't think of the dick, then I'm sorry to say it must be you.
All right. That's fine. I'll accept that.
All right. The Flash airs Tuesday night at 8 on the CW. Daniel Pennebaker is here. Many more questions for our guest. And we'll take yours, too, by the way. If you want to text us, if you've got a question about The Flash or a question you want us to ask Danielle, you can text us at 2KROQ25767. More in a moment right after this on K-Rock. By the way, between 9 and 10 this morning, not only do we talk to Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network and the Red Zone about the weekend football just passed, we also will give you tickets to go see that band Muse for December 19th at the Staples Center. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. Danielle Pennebaker in studio with us right now from The Flash. Season 2 came back to big ratings last Tuesday night at 8, new episode tomorrow night. Danielle, I asked for some listeners to text in with some questions. Do you mind if I throw a few at you here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, from the 559, again, spoiler alert if you haven't seen the season premiere last week. How does Barry's dad being released just to leave Barry afterwards make any sense? That's all Barry wanted for the entire first season was to free his dad, and then he just leaves. What up?
I know. I mean, but think about it. If you were trapped in a prison cell for years and years and years, wouldn't you want to get out and see the world? And he knows his son Barry is in good hands. He's got everybody looking after him. So don't worry. It's not the last of Henry Allen. You will see him again soon.
All I thought when he got out of jail was he's also Dawson Leary's dad. So does that mean the Flash and Dawson are brothers?
Maybe it's some alternate universe. Maybe in Earth 7.
From the 818, question for Danielle. Just how big will Zoom be as a villain, such as will he be a villain for only the season or for more seasons, if you know?
I don't know how long Zoom will be a part of our show, but I know he's going to be a big part of this season, and he's so scary. They released a new trailer at New York Comic Con yesterday, and you got to see a little peek of him, and he's terrifying. He's terrifying on set, too, to be honest.
Did you go to Comic-Con? Were you in New York?
No, I wasn't in New York Comic-Con. We went to San Diego Comic-Con this summer, though.
What's that like, by the way, for people that meet you? Because you're popular and famous and pretty.
Oh, you're so sweet. It's crazy. San Diego Comic-Con, for us, it's busy, you know, because we're in production at that time. So we are coming down, straight down from Vancouver to San Diego. And it's just, you know, it's go, go, go. It's a long, long day. But it's great. Everybody's so excited about the show.
Do you get a lot of marriage proposals?
No, I don't. Creepy, Bean.
Why, Bean?
No, right?
Occasionally on Twitter. I'm like, well, this is a good day.
I just assumed that people would, you know, they would, you know, fall for Dr. Snow. They would go, oh, perfect, you know, oh, but okay.
I have a question from David on Twitter. Was the scene with Barry, Firestorm, and the gang with Dr. Wells walking and they all seemed to be getting along, was that Earth 2? No, that wasn't Earth 2. That was a dream that Barry was having. David really feels like he got in there. I think David thinks he solved it. Give us time. All right. Slowly, more and more information will come about Earth 2.
Here's one from Manny, who is streaming from San Antonio. Ask Danielle how much he can tell us about Killer Frost appearing this season. That must be one of the most popular questions you get, Danielle, right? Because everybody kind of knows your future.
It is one of the most popular questions I get. And, you know, to be honest, I know that the plan is to have it happen at some point. But hopefully, you know, we get to do this show for many, many years. And so it probably won't be anytime soon that we'll see Killer Frost. Which I am sad about. I wish it were tomorrow, but someday for sure.
But it's kind of cool to know that you have great storylines that you have in the future that you can get to. You know that you're not in. It's not like you're going to run out of material ever doing the Flash.
No, I'm so excited about it.
All right, here's another one I bet you get a lot, too. This one from the 562 for Danielle. Is she going to get to do crossover episodes with Arrow or Legends of Tomorrow? Ken wants to know.
I'm so excited. I'm not sure how much it's been talked about, but yes, we are doing crossovers. We're in the middle of them right now. I'll actually be going to work on Arrow tomorrow morning. So we're doing another big crossover event, similar as we did last year, between Flash and Arrow. It'll be a big two-part episode. And there will be some characters from Legends on that, which is super exciting. So that's the current plan for crossovers. We have 23 episodes, so hopefully there's more time for more crossovers with Legends and stuff.
Does it feel any different for you when you go to work on the Arrow set versus the Flash set? Are they very different working scenarios?
They're so different. It's really,
really?
Funny.
Who has better catering?
We do, for sure.
Nice.
And crafty. Even the sets are so different. When you walk into the Cortex of Star Labs, it's big and bright and light. And like when you walk into the Arrow Lair, it is dark and smoky and scary, and I'm afraid I'm going to trip on something. They're very, very different.
It's kind of awesome.
What are the Arrow fans called, and what are the Flash fans called? Do you guys have fan-based names?
Not that I'm aware of. I was joking earlier that some of the Arrow people started calling us Flash Holes.
So we started, I like it.
So we started calling them Air Holes. Shouldn't they be Arrowheads? Meh, that's a little nicer than what they were calling us.
Yeah.
So, tit for tat.
Okay. Exactly.
You're right. Screw them.
it's just, it has to be. You've been acting for a long time, right?
I have.
I mean, 16, 17 years, something like that?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if it's been quite that long.
It must be such a dream come true for an actress to, A, have steady work, but, B, be on a show that people love, that you love, that you might be able to do for a long time.
Absolutely. I'm so grateful. Yeah, I mean, to be able to make a living doing what I do, that in itself is such a gift. And to be on a show now that's such a success, that resonates with so many people, that I'm so proud of, it's... there's no feeling like it. Very grateful.
I find it crazy that you have 23 episodes of this show. It just feels like it would take so long to make each one. That's insane.
It does. We're very busy. I mean, it takes 8 or 9 days to shoot an episode, so at least one day a week. We have 2 units running, and we're shooting 2 episodes at once. So it's busy for sure. We work hard.
Wow. Well, you guys do a really, really good job. I mean, it really is one of the best looking shows on television. You got a lot of talent on the show. It's really, really fun. So congratulations, Danielle.
Thank you so much.
Seriously. Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock on the CW. It's not too late to get invested in this season. You can watch the first episode from last week's premiere up online at thecw.com and watch the new episode tomorrow night when it airs. Danielle, so great to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. My pleasure.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Talk the NFL with our friend Andrew Siciliano from DirecTV's Red Zone coming up after 9. But first, how about this, you guys? 10 days from now, Tuesday, October 20th at Universal Studios Hollywood, our own Ralph Garman is going to be broadcasting live all morning long. It's the annual K-Rock Vein Drain Blood Drive. You know, we do this every year. Get people to come on by, give blood, give great prizes at Universal Studios. This year, we're going to have tickets to The Cure, tickets to the Danny Elfman, Halloween shows at the Bowl. We're going to have Muse tickets, Deftones tickets, tickets to Rancid, The Neighborhood, and so much more. Again, it's on Tuesday, October 20th, 1 week from tomorrow, during The Kevin and Bean Show. Plan on coming down and giving some blood and get the details at KROQ.com. Now here's Allie in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
Good morning, you guys. It is Columbus Day today.
Yeah.
We don't have it off. We were discussing actually off the air. Are we done with it? Is Columbus Day kind of moving on? Bean, you think it is?
I really do. I mean, look, there are a lot of people who believe that Columbus should not be celebrated for anything. I mean, that's why a lot of states and communities are now referring to this as Indigenous Peoples Day, because Columbus, not a good dude. And didn't discover America. So that's a 1-2 punch against him.
Yeah, we're basically saying, hey, you got lost. Let's celebrate you.
Right.
Not great. Yeah. Well, you may be asking yourself, well, that's all well and good, but what does Diplo think?
What does Diplo think?
I woke up this morning. Wow. It's a good transition.
He tweeted, as far as holidays are concerned, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, I rate Columbus Day a 0. Mass genocide wasn't really that tight.
See, that's the thing, is I think the genocide has now outweighed, you know, whatever we thought we learned in school about the magical sailing of 1492.
Yeah, things have changed. Things have changed. Speaking of maybe some politics, Jennifer Lawrence won't be doing any benefits for Donald Trump. She was quoted, if Donald Trump becomes president, that will be the end of the world. She said this while promoting her upcoming film, Mockingjay Part 2, the final film in the Hunger Games series.
Which looks awesome.
And Liam Hemsworth backed her up by saying, I'll back you up on that.
I've made my decision. You're fired.
I don't think she was hired. She doesn't want to be.
A lot of people, particularly Hollywood celebrity types, always threaten to move out of the country if X is elected president, but they never do.
No, she's saying it's the end of the world.
Oh, okay. Not just move out of the United States.
Yeah.
The end of the world.
The world is finished. However, Katy Perry, she has agreed to appear at a Hillary Clinton rally in Des Moines, Iowa on Saturday, October 24th. Katy's a longtime supporter of Hillary, having told the former Secretary of State at a previous rally that she would write a theme song for her if she needs it.
Wow.
What is that song going to sound like?
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I wish I could vote for Katie instead of Hillary, though.
I think a lot of people would join you on
that. We have the hottest president in the world if Katy Perry won.
Yes.
That'd be pretty cool.
And that's how you should vote, is who's hottest.
Yeah, I've said that for years. We all know St. Vincent. She is the amazing international indie rock star. Well, she's also a server. What?
A server.
A server. A waitress, if you will. The Grammy-winning artist spent her weekend helping wait tables at Resident Taqueria, a new restaurant in Dallas, Texas. She was snapped giving orders to tables, taking orders, bringing over the food. Apparently, a family member is an owner of Resident Taqueria. So they tweeted out, hey, come check out St. Vincent.
Hmm.
That's kind of cool.
Sure. You know who her girlfriend is, Ellie?
That would be supermodel Cara Delevingne.
That's right.
Thank you. Back to you.
No, I think it's back to you.
Oh, sorry. My bad. Yep. Rolling Stones are not only legends on the stage, but off stage. You know how they have those riders, and sometimes things say very interesting things about the bands, like only green M&Ms. Never know if it's true. Well, on their recently wrapped up tour, at each stop they insisted the hotel bar does not close. Even if that's illegal in that city or town, the place better figure out a way to keep the booze flowing. They also need blacked out windows so they can party as long as they want. Extra butlers for their huge room service requests. After hours dry cleaning, which is creepy on a lot of levels.
Well, you need to hide the DNA a lot of times before the police get there.
Yeah, good stuff. They also wanted a lot of cigarettes, their brand of choice, Marlboro Reds and Marlboro Lights. But this is what got me. The one thing on the rider that really lets you know, hey, these dudes are old. They needed written out instructions on how to use all electronics in each room.
What? Really?
Like, all right, Grampy, somebody, here's how you turn on the TV. The red button on this remote.
Type up instructions for Mick Jagger on how the remote
wow.
works.
That's my favorite thing ever.
Wow.
Oh, sweet spirit. All the booze, dry cleaning, blacked out windows. Also, how do you use this remote here?
Look,
confused
I know
by
they're
the
great,
light switch.
They're great musicians and all that, but they're still 80-year-old men.
I'm saying. Oh, that just tickled me. All these stars were all born on today, the 12th of Rocktober. Actor Josh Hutcherson, he's 23. Kirk Cameron is 45. And actor Hugh Jackman is turning 47 today. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
I don't follow football. I don't recognize it as a sport. I guess it's something that other people are into.
Oh,
I am
yeah.
not.
Seattle lost.
Really? They were up by 17 when I turned it off in the fourth quarter, so I'm convinced they must have won that game.
No, they were up by 17, but they lost.
But I do look forward to catching up with our good friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone. Do we have on the line? My screener just went to blank.
Well, it wasn't just your screener. It was our entire phone system.
Okay. All right. That's not good.
So
Andrew Siciliano, we'll get him back on the phone here in just a second.
So you didn't watch the end of your game? You didn't watch it, Bean? Seems like you would have as a big fan.
Like he pulled a Mama Mugs. That's what he did.
I did. What happened? I mean, what happened? The Seattle defense had given up 3 points in the two previous weeks. Now, granted, they weren't playing against the Bengals, who have a great offense, but still, we held them to a touchdown.
And the Bengals looked like they were in midseason Bengals form
did. It definitely looked like, I mean, I felt like I could exhale and just coast to the end of that game, just run out the clock. And somehow
and
they came back and won 1-1. So,
jeez, Kevin.
Let me think. Arizona Cardinals. Oh, hey. Destruction.
And Chip, we're getting
Road
Andrew back
to the Super Bowl.
Chip, you had a very exciting weekend because no Dolphins to disappoint you this week.
Yeah, they didn't lose this week. So it's kind of nice to watch football and not be sad.
It was a bye week. For a change. And Allie, your stupid team won again and won big, right?
They did. Hardy knocked down the beautiful, lovely, and talented Tom Brady quite a few times, but every time he did, it's like he regained even more superpowers. So suck it, hard.
So you're saying he gets knocked down, but then he gets back up again.
Yep, sure
is
does.
Is that what you're saying?
Another sure does.
All right, we have him now.
We do.
Andrew Siciliano.
Hi, guys.
Sorry, our
that
phones
was weird.
Our phones just completely died. I think they said Andrew Siciliano. No, sir.
Yeah, something I said clearly, obviously.
How are you, man? How was your weekend?
I'm doing well. Weekend was great. There were like lots of sports on this week.
There were. I think you even mentioned it at one point on Twitter that it was sports overload. It was at one point impossible to keep track of college football, U.S. Mexico soccer, and baseball playoffs all at the same time, right?
All at the same time on Saturday night. And I have 21 TVs, a DirecTV, and in our studio, or 22, something like that. I have more than one in my living room, but not nearly enough to follow what was going on at, like, what, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, right when the Dodger game started Saturday. It was unreal.
All right, speaking of the Dodgers game, and I know you're on to talk about football, and I hate to raise the ire of the, hey, Andrew, keep it to football that you get all the time. But you hear that. I know you hear that every single day. Should Chase Utley be allowed to play against the Mets tonight?
I think he should. Listen, let me say this. I think what Chase Utley did was borderline dirty. He obviously had no attempt to slide. He was trying to break up a double play, which, by the way, is not illegal. It is not illegal to attempt to break up a double play. It's how you go about doing it. And what Chase Utley did was borderline dirty. Now, I mean, if Joey Cora and others are going to go on TV, who I respect greatly, and say that they thought it was dirty, I'll respect their opinion on it. That said, you can't suspend him. There's zero precedent for suspending him. And this is, I pulled out Hammurabi's code last night on Twitter, and I don't know if anyone got it.
Eye for an eye.
Okay, tooth for a tooth. Mm-hmm. He was suspended only because Ruben Tejada was hurt. If Ruben Tejada landed on 2 feet, and by the way, he totally should have never turned his back. He had no chance of turning the double play. He turned his back and left himself susceptible, but I'm not blaming the victim.
So you're blaming the victim.
No. if he had landed on 2 feet, not only is there no suspension, we're not even talking about it. It's not even an issue. It doesn't. It's a blip in the game story. A blip. But sadly, he broke his leg, which is unfortunate. Everyone wants him to be out there playing. That's fine. So I think it's dangerous in any sport. I'm told hockey does it. I don't watch hockey. But that you suspend someone based on the severity of the player you injured, to me, that's a slippery slope.
I agree. But you're not allowed to run headfirst into a catcher anymore. They did make that change years ago, right?
A couple of years ago when Buster Posey of the Giants got blowed up. Someone once said on TV.
Blowed up.
And,
I like it.
Yeah. And so they changed that rule as well. And the catcher, granted, has a mask, a shin guard, a chest protector. Now, those things are not meant to really absorb a collision with another human being. They're meant to protect you from a ball in the dirt. But the second baseman, the shortstop, has no protection. And generally speaking, you can take him out as long as you make an effort. You can reach the bag. Kind of the rule. Yeah.
All right. Well, the appeal is they're going to appeal, and we should have some sort of verdict, so we should know before game time tonight whether he's in or not, right?
Well, there you go.
Okay. All right. Your takeaways from week 5, Andrew. What stuck out for you as you were working your ass off in the red zone on DirecTV yesterday?
The Bengals are pretty damn good. I mean, they were down 17. I don't know what the numbers are, but there were some ridiculous streaks.
Andrew, I forgot. Who did they beat?
They beat the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot.
Who still can't protect Russell Wilson, who's on pace to be sacked 70 times. And that's with considering how elusive he is.
Yeah, he's very mobile.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. He's still on pace to get sacked 70 times. The Bengals were down 17 in the fourth quarter. You don't come back like that, and they did against a good team. And they're 5-0. They're legit. And I believe in Andy Dalton until January, and then he's got to prove himself again because he's never done it in January.
But this is going to sound dumb, but the Seahawks lost to a ginger. That can't be allowed. Oh, we can't just let that stand, can we, Andrew?
You know, I personally am attracted to redheads. So, I mean, not Andy Dalton necessarily. That's not what I do. But, I mean, I am attracted to redheads in general. I never understood this anti-redhead thing. I never got it.
Because they have no souls. We learned that from South Park, Andrew. Start paying attention, man.
I watched the Tom Brady episode. I dropped out for a couple of years. I'm sorry.
All right. Let's talk about the Packers while we're talking about undefeated teams like the Bengals. The Packers won again, but a streak was broken.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers threw a pick at home for the first time in 1,043 days and 587 attempts.
Isn't
he had not been intercepted at home since 2012. And if you had told me the Rams would actually do it twice, they got him again and forced him to fumble. So they turned him over 3 times. And the Rams ran for 150 yards from Todd Gurley. And they would have lost. I would have called you a lying liar.
Right.
Yeah, but that somehow happened. So the Packers are undefeated. They're 5-0. They're good. And I'm sorry. I don't see anyone going to Lambeau in the playoffs and beating them. I don't. So
no, they're
if they get home field, which they could, although the Falcons will have a say in that, I don't see anyone going up there and winning in January.
How about Dave's Falcons? He's really strutting around a lot today, wanting to be part of this undefeated club, and technically he is. But when you barely beat the Redskins, how happy should you be?
He was sweating that one for a while. A win is a win is a win is a win. I not to be Mr. Football Geek here, but when Julio Jones, their best player, had one leg, basically, he was limping around on his bad hammy yesterday. When he wasn't a factor, when you didn't have to worry about him, it's a lot easier to shut down that Falcons offense. So that would be a concern. But, hey, not only are they 5-0, if you look at the way their schedule sets up, I don't know how those records are this morning, but I know that when we looked at it last week, the Falcons, I don't think, faced anyone through week 9 that currently had a winning record.
Wow. Oh, interesting.
So, yeah, I mean, the Falcons could get out to an 8-0, 9-0 start.
Wow. Dave's convinced he's convinced they're going undefeated this season.
They are not going undefeated.
Yeah,
he's a little too excited. I will do something stupid that Dave requests if they go undefeated, and I have problem saying that because they will not in any way, shape, or form go undefeated. The Lions have a better chance of going winless than the Falcons have of going undefeated.
Well, they're doing a great job.
They are great at being winless. Yeah. They're fantastic,
the Patriots, guys.
It's not all about the Patriots.
Do you want to talk about them?
There's nothing to say about the Patriots.
Here's what I know about the Patriots. Actually, I was in a position to root for Dallas.
Uh-huh.
How does that happen?
Was this envy? Was it because you didn't want to deal? You didn't want to make Allie happy? You were rooting against her happiness?
A lot of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that is just small-minded and juvenile.
Thank you.
It's
hurtful.
Yeah.
But she's talked so much about them, though, Andrew.
They lost because she would be complaining.
See,
I would argue that she would talk more about them if they lost, because clearly if they lose, in Allie's mind here, then it's some kind of conspiracy.
How many times have I brought up the Patriots winning today?
Like 500.
See, that's my
lie. Not even once.
That is Andrew's point.
Yes,
she would talk about it more if they lost.
Right.
I just prefer sad Patriots fans to happy Patriots fans. That's all I know. Hey, listen, before we say goodbye, Andrew, and thank you so much for the time and the continued good work you do on the NFL Network and, of course, on DirecTV Red Zone. According to Fred Rogan, who tweeted out, he was out. Now he's safe. Dodgers Chase Utley eligible to play tonight against the Mets. So it sounds like maybe there has been a ruling coming down from New York.
Is there a ruling, or is it – because I had heard this morning that they may not be able to
– No, they're actually not hearing it.
Oh, they're not going to hear it. Okay. Yeah. So he's going to play pending the appeal.
Mm-hmm. He gets a pass, which means the Mets can throw at him tonight.
Yeah, he's going to take a pitch to the head, isn't he?
I hope it's not to the head.
I do too.
I do too.
But there's no question he'll be hit. I mean, if you were in Las Vegas right now, you could probably put money down and make money on him getting hit by a pitch, right?
I would put my mortgage on that.
All right, Andrew. Great to talk to you, sir. Sorry we had that problem with the phone, but thanks for sticking with us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You got it, guys.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:42.
Ralph Garman is on vacation this week, filling in for the Showbiz Beat. With that report is the girl. What's up, Allie?
Thank you, Manuel. Lady Marmalade, remember that song? Huge in 1975, but even bigger in 2001. It was Christina Aguilera.
In a movie?
Pink. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
Maya and Lil' Kim.
Okay.
That's right.
Yes.
Did you just come up with all four of them off the top of your head, or are you reading that from somewhere?
I'm reading it.
Okay. Because I was super impressed.
No, I was scrolling down because I couldn't remember Maya, and I apologize. She was great. Well, now Rita Ora wants to come out with her own rendition, her own Lady Marmalade. And she is enlisting a group of heavy hitters of her own. But if you could pick a group of ladies to redo the song, who are some names that would come to you right off the bat?
I don't understand. What's the significance of them redoing this song? You mean general?
Just to redo it.
Just four great singers?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ariana Grande, I think you have to put in any kind of list, according to Kevin, right?
Right.
She's a powerful voice.
Mm-hmm.
Lady
Rihanna
Gaga
would be great.
Gaga
Beyonce,
for sure.
Beyonce would be great.
Beyonce.
Sure.
Yeah.
Rihanna, maybe Nicki Minaj.
Sure.
All great choices.
Right?
Sure. Yeah.
None of those are who she wants in it. But thanks.
Okay.
I know. It is a little odd. Rita Ora would like to enlist Miley Cyrus.
Okay.
Okay. Fine.
Iggy Azalea.
Fine.
Okay. And Charlie XCX.
XCX, yeah. Hmm. So she's going really more for the B team than she is for the superstars.
Right, yeah, it's pretty much JV, but
so in other words, she
exciting.
Just named people she thought she could get.
Maybe that's it.
Rather than her wish list.
People in her phone.
Right. She's not thinking about Madonna and Beyonce. She's thinking about who she could actually get to.
I have a clip.
Do you
Beth,
already?
You want to hear the song?
I would love to.
Yeah, it leaked this morning.
I'm just a small town girl living in my princess world.
She sounds so young.
We're going to need to work on that a little bit.
I think that was actually the Honey Boo Boo Bop. Boo Boo Bop. Not easy to say.
She is going in a different direction.
Very different. Speaking of a different but awesome direction, Paul Reubens will be starring in this season's Gotham. Who will he be playing? Oh! Penguin's dad. And you may be saying to yourself, well, didn't he do that before? Yes, he did, Kevin. Thank you for asking.
Didn't he do that before?
Yes. In 1992's Batman Returns, he played Tucker Cobblepot. But how great is he? He's going to be Penguin's dad.
And he looks, they look so much alike, too. Yeah, they definitely look like Cobblepots.
Is he going to break up the love relationship between the mom and
son? You really think
so.
Just because they bathe together doesn't mean it's sexual. We went over this with went through this.
Creepy.
No.
Creepy. Is there no age at which it becomes creepy for you, Allie, when you're bathing your adult son?
She wasn't bathing him. She was just washing his back. He had a really rough day.
Right. She shouldn't be in the bathroom with him while he's in the tub.
They were catching up on what had happened, who he had kind of murdered that day.
He was naked, and his mom was touching him.
There were bubbles. She wasn't touching his front.
That you
she
saw.
She was touching his back.
That's creepy.
I don't know.
That's creepy.
So Calvin Harris can't go to a Thai massage parlor, yet all of a sudden you're allowed to sleep with your mom. What the hell's going on in your world?
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
Speaking of amazing, King of Queens, Kevin James, has another series in the works at CBS. The Wrap says that Kevin will play a newly retired police officer looking forward to spending more quality time with his wife and three kids, only to discover he faces much tougher challenges at home than he ever did on the streets.
Kevin James, if there's anyone funnier than Kevin James, I want names.
All people.
I don't think we have that kind of time at all. And since they're handing out TV shows, also happening on TLC Network, The View's Joy Behar will be doing a late-night talk show. Deadline reports this weekly half-hour show will be called Late Night Joy. It's debuting November the 4th and will be shot in Behar's New York City apartment, featuring old friends like Sherry Shepherd, Don Lemon, Teresa Caputo, and Colin Quinn.
Okay.
What?
So is that did you say it's a TV show?
Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. On TLC.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Or if you're interested in Bruno Mars, he's getting his own TV show. Deadline says he's in development with NBC on a comedy about a dysfunctional family from the Bronx whose life changes when they take in their, quote, wide-eyed, hopelessly optimistic 10-year-old nephew. Some of the story is based on Bruno's life.
Bruno will play the 10-year-old?
I don't believe he will. However,
he does look
very young.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. Shia LaBeouf arrested last week at the Austin City Limits Music Festival in Austin, Texas, for public intoxication.
Plus, actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf. He's a cannibal.
Do you think he was eating people?
That's what.
In
what
Texas?
Else could that
well,
mean?
There's so much good barbecue in Texas. I'm saying, I don't think he was eating people in Texas.
I'm going to play the clip again.
Okay.
Actual
cannibal Shia LaBeouf. Do
you
think he's an actual cannibal?
Yes, I do.
Shia LaBeouf?
He is. I heard the song.
One more time. Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf. It's unclear.
Actual cannibal.
Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah. It's perfectly clear.
I don't think it's clear.
Cannibal.
Make your dreams come true. Just do it.
That's really nice. Shia was already arrested last year at the Broadway musical Cabaret for drunken behavior and was sent to rehab for 3 months by the judge in that case. So we will be monitoring this closely. We only want the best for Shia.
We do, and it's starting to get to the point where I'm feeling like he's got a serious problem.
Yeah.
This isn't like a one-off anymore, you know?
And if he's
constant run-ins with the law.
If he's eating people.
And he's so talented. And he's a cannibal, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this has to stop. Again. Sexual cannibal Shia LaBeouf. Agree to disagree. All of these stars were born on today, the 12th. Of Rocktober. Hugh Jackman, 47. Kirk Cameron, 45. And Josh Hutcherson is 23 years old today. I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Allie. Tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Bean Makes Us Guess. I believe we're going to pull out two eyeballs. I think two eyeballs.
I think so. I think we're getting close. Yep.
Time. We also have Colin Hanks coming in studio, one of our favorite actors and friends.
Love him.
Talking about his projects, talking about the L.A. Kings. And we also have The Suite Life with Muse. seems too good to be true because you win tickets to Muse, and then you also qualify for your own suite at the show. You introduce the band. You get a suite at the Ritz-Carlton. You get a limo ride and $25,000.
Uh-uh.
Right?
Again, have we checked?
No. But we hopefully will be able to offer that to you tomorrow morning on the all-new Kevin and Bean Show.